And now, News for Gamers, Internet Star Radio Program proudly presents
the N4G Podcast.
Every week you're tuning in, listening to us ramble on about the latest in gaming news. And without further ado, let us introduce you to Zero Tolerance Gambit's Con. You've got the wombat to a special guest or two if we are nice enough to let them on our podcast, the N4G Podcast.
We should have a cluck off.
Shut the cluck up.
All right, we're back for another week of News for Gamers Podcast Radio, week of February 18th, 2008. We're back after a week off.
Woohoo!
After the 50th episode, there was too much partying going on.
It was just too much.
So we're back now. And I hope you like the song, the intro song.
The brand new podcast theme song. Yeah. Mr. Brian Boogeyman Peterson.
Hello. Yeah.
Where I got casually mentioned.
We got the wombat, too.
I got thrown under the bus. Oh, we got the wombat, too, by the way.
Yeah, so you know. And a special guest.
We don't give a fuck about him, though.
You didn't get that long, protruding name. And you don't get the wombat.
Oh, well.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Good times.
We're back for another week. In the studio, we have, of course, Gambus Khan is here with us, Mr. Jason Gambrell.
What's up?
He gets a full name mentioned.
He gets a whole verse. He's like, Gambus Khan. Also with us, we have the very bitter and jaded Wombat
2. The Wombat 2. Electric Boogaloo. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not really bitter and jaded about it at all.
You're in a song.
I think the theme song's pretty kick-ass. So.
And you're the opening of the song.
Yeah, at least
you didn't end up in the Gilligan's Island thing with the and the rest.
Right.
Yeah, at least you guys both have a catchphrase. I don't have anything.
What's pretty sad is like the special guest or two is here again and the other regular members are not.
Right.
Again.
The other people.
That's why they didn't get mentioned in the freaking song, because one's too quiet and doesn't say anything, and the other ones, I don't know.
Like three people remember Killer Wolverine.
Right, yeah, what's funny is he was one of the original podcast
members.
He was one of the original four,
yeah. And now he's, well, you know.
When we used to record the podcast in my palatial Middletown, Ohio estate.
With one microphone and everybody kept beating on it.
With one microphone in the middle of a coffee table.
We've upgraded since then.
We have upgraded to headset mics.
We have the technology.
We can rebuild it.
And then we're also the author of the new N4G podcast song, Brian the Boogeyman Peterson from GamingAge.com.
Hello again. And did you notice that rotting smell when we walked in? I think I found Sylvester Stallone's corpse still lying here. I don't think he ever left. So.
Come on. Let's get out of here.
Come with me, son. Yeah, that's mine. I left it here last week. I'll pick it up.
All right, but we got 2 weeks worth of gaming to talk about. So
lots of gaming.
Lots
of new games to talk about. So, Mr. Khan, we'll start off with you because a lot of people are very interested in hearing what the RPG man has to say about this new game that came out. And I'm sure you've been playing other things, too.
Well, RPG man, that meaning has taken on a new meaning this past couple weeks. I've been playing 4 RPGs simultaneously.
Wow. You're keeping all the stories straight? I guess they're all pretty much different. They all have androgynous leads, and they involve long journeys.
Yes, very long journeys. And lots of reading and watching.
Yeah. Very little playing.
Very little playing.
Very little playing.
And when you do play, it's
voice
just
acting.
Typically.
But
there's a lot of voice acting to be had, so it can't always be quality.
Oh my god!
Hello, Metal Gear.
When you've got 80 hours worth of voice acting, some of it's bound to be.
Yeah, you can't keep that.
Anyway, so what are you playing?
Well, okay, on the action front, I play a little bit more Contra 4 like usual. Nice. I played a new demo, which I know the Wombat is also going to be talking about, so I'm just going to briefly mention it. Patapon.
Pon, patapon.
Yeah.
Patapon.
Yeah.
Or as the Chinese call it, patapon.
Well, exactly. Then, congratulations.
But, it's a game for the PSP, and when Ryan, Wombat, gets around to...
You broke the fourth wall!
Okay, when the Wombat... when he starts talking...
The Wombat 2.
The Wombat
2. The Wombat 2.
Yeah, that's the Wombat.
I didn't even know you guys were going to let me talk on this one.
But I played that. I played... played all the way through the Chains of Olympus demo for PSP. Freaking awesome.
You know, I have not played it yet.
Dude.
I keep waiting for them to release it on the freaking PlayStation Store, but they won't. It's driving me nuts.
Sony's kind of...
They want you to pre-order it, that's why.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. It's definitely going to be a must-buy next month. And then on the RPG front... Oh, yeah. Also downloaded... full version of Rez HD.
Well, it's about time.
You know why? Because I did not want to be a part of the problem.
You definitely shouldn't be part of the problem. You should be part of the solution buying these games.
Man, it's like Zero Tolerance is like major influence on getting people to do things. It's like, beat Bioshock! He's like waves his hand like the Jedi mind trick. Beat Bioshock! I will beat Bioshock.
You didn't
buy
know,
Rez HD. I will buy Rez
HD. You didn't know Zero
Tolerance? Like Devil May Cry.
It's like David Koresh.
You didn't know Zero Tolerance was a Jedi name?
How many people that listen to this actually remember David Koresh?
Stop it. Just stop it.
Yeah. I remember David Koresh.
Too soon?
But anyway.
Don't listen to this podcast.
David Koresh is pissed right now.
Is it
listens.
Too soon for the David Koresh?
It's too soon.
Okay. The RPG front on PSP played more Legend of Heroes. I know it's the most generic name for a game ever.
It's the best description of an RPG, though, ever.
Legend of Heroes.
I don't know that it's the most generic name for a game ever. Combat wins that.
I don't know. Dragon Quest is pretty good.
Yeah.
Dragon Warrior.
Or Street Fighter.
Yeah. That's true. But the other...
Kung Fu.
Pit Fighter.
The other RPG for Asteroid. PSP I've been playing has been Brave Story. I heard a lot of people... Like on the forums, I actually read a lot of people on the forums tell me that I should play Brave Story because it's really good, and I must say, it really is. It's a fantastic game. It's got a good story. It's got a lot of heart behind it. It's kind of flaky, but it's actually based on a actual novel. There was a novel written. Dude, I saw it at the bookstore the other day. I forgot the author's name. It's a really long Japanese name.
It's kind of flaky.
Yeah, but dude, the book is almost 1,000 pages, man. It's huge. It's a humongous book.
It's huge.
So, it's really cool. It's the game is completely 3D. High production value for a PSP title. I mean, it rivals PS2 games. So, I mean, you gotta check it out if you're looking for a good game with a lot of heart. And
it's kind of flaky.
And it's kind of flaky, but it's pretty good. And then on the next generation side, I jumped into a game that, you know...
Oh, God, he just used the Microsoft tagline.
He did.
You're terrible.
Oh, wow.
But ironically... Oh, I'll get to it here in a little bit. A game that people will probably say, 2 years too late... Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Elder Scrolls Oblivion, Game of the Year Edition for PS3.
Oh, PS3.
Uh-oh, traitor in the mist.
He dodges the easy 1,000 achievement points by getting the PS3 version.
Easy 1,000 achievement points.
Time-consuming.
Well, but still, everybody I know who plays Elder Scrolls has that 1,000 achievement points. It must not be that difficult.
Because I didn't... played a ridiculous amount of it, but I didn't go for all the achievement points. So I think I have most of them, though.
But anyway. I did my research, and I watched a lot of like video comparisons comparing the PS3 to the 360 version. And the thing is, unlike a lot of games where it's like a slight lighting difference, there's actually a blatant graphically quality jump to the PS3 version that's instantly noticeable. So I picked that version up, and... I played probably about 8 or 9 hours into it. I closed the first Oblivion Gate, and I think I joined the quest, the Knights of the Nine quest. I think I joined that, but I'm not totally for sure.
Because you'd have got, you'd have got some achievements.
I'll tell you what you need to do. The first thing that you need to do is you need to join the Thieves Guild and play the Thieves Guild storyline because it's incredibly good. And then you need to join the Dark Brotherhood and play the Dark Brotherhood storyline because those two storylines are actually better than the main quest storyline.
Oh, okay.
Easily better than the main quest storyline.
Do you have to be in the main capital to join?
No, actually
the Thieves Guild you get invited to.
If you go, you're going to want to go to the. You do have to be in the main city to join the Thieves Guild. And actually, the Dark Brotherhood. You don't have to be in the main city to join the Dark Brotherhood. But the Dark Brotherhood, all you have to do is kill somebody. You just have to murder somebody and then go to sleep. And when in your sleep, you'll be approached by someone who will ask you to join the guild. The Thieves Guild, there's actually a specific place you have to meet. And if you ask a lot of beggars about the Thieves Guild, they'll about the Gray Fox. They'll eventually tell you how to join the Thieves
Guild.
Yeah,
the Gray Fox is mentioned a lot.
Yeah, those two guilds are easily better than the main storyline in Oblivion.
Yeah, I really like Oblivion for my.
You're not power leveling, are you? Because the game levels to your character.
Yeah. Thing is, I'm still on level 1.
You don't need to level.
And that was I must have put 250 hours into Morrowind on the original Xbox and PC, actually. And that was the biggest disappointment for me going into Oblivion, was that all the creatures leveled with you, because it's the biggest pain in the ass, and it's it keeps the game from being as fun as it could be, because there's no places you have to worry about going. Like, you don't have to say, oh, I can't go there yet, because everything in there is so much higher level than me, it'll just wipe me out.
Yeah.
It kills a lot of the suspense and fun about roaming the world when you know that you're going to be able to at least handle everything that you run into. But if you haven't played it, I would definitely, definitely recommend picking up Morrowind Game of the Year Edition, because I think it's backwards compatible.
I think so.
And it's phenomenal.
Yeah, the Game of the Year Edition is the version I picked up. It's got the Knights of the Nine, and has
the Game of the Year Edition of Morrowind.
Oh, the pick of Morrowind.
Yeah, the one right before Oblivion. You should definitely pick it up.
Sweet.
If you liked Oblivion, you'll like Morrowind.
Welcome to N4G Podcast Radio 2005.
Right, no doubt.
The thing is, when I was playing Oblivion, and then on contrast, when I was playing Lost Odyssey.
Boom.
Yeah.
Mentioned right in there. It's like, Lost Odyssey.
Lost Odyssey. I've been thinking of like a segment for an upcoming episode where I want to, because I'm such an RPG fan, I want to compare and contrast both Western and Eastern RPG philosophies, if you will. I'm going to go into great detail. I'm going to write a bunch of notes, man.
You know what the big difference between the two is? I'll break it down for you right here.
What's that?
Western RPGs actually have 40 hours of content. Eastern RPGs have 2 hours of content, 38 hours of storyline and cutscenes and reading.
You're going to catch some flack for that one.
I am, but it's funny. I don't care.
Thank you very much, Mr. Solid Snake.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, Mr. Metal Gear.
Mr. Walk Down a Hallway to go to a one-hour cutscene, then as soon as the cutscene's over, walk down another hallway to run into another one-hour cutscene.
If you if you take cutscenes out of Metal Gear Solid 1, it's how long?
About an hour
and a half.
Hey, you know. Boss battles are longer than that.
It's a damn good hour and a half.
The newest game I've been playing is Lost Odyssey for 360. It's a Japanese RPG, of course, directed by Sakaguchi. I'm really, really enjoying it. I think it's got a fantastic storyline, even though it's not for everybody.
Well, it's definitely not for everybody.
Yeah,
I'm playing it too.
It's not for everybody, and the difficulty is not for everybody.
Because it's T for Teen.
Is it hard or is it too easy?
It's way too hard.
It's really hard.
Way too hard.
The bosses will kill you if you don't know what to do.
Let's debunk this right now, because a lot of the reviews got kicked down on the game for horrendous load times.
Does not exist in retail version.
That's what I had heard. I wanted to debunk it with two people who had actually played it.
It has about as much load time as, your typical Final Fantasy game.
I may end up picking that up after I finally finish Mass Effect.
I hope you enjoy reading.
Dude, I enjoy reading. There's a lot of reading in Mass Effect.
But the thing that bothers me about Lost Odyssey's reading is that it doesn't do anything. Like, the little stories that it tells you, I don't find them interesting. I don't find them, in conjunction with the story. I mean, maybe it's just because it's early on, and they're really kind of boring. Like, literally, you can sit there for 5 or 10 minutes reading it, whatever, and then when you get to the end, you're like, really?
Well, I mean, they really don't have anything to do with the story, but you're getting to know this character, the lead character, who's lived for 1,000 years. You're getting to know his past experiences.
And that's fine. I have nothing wrong with that. But why do I have to read a story that's really engaging, and I have to watch a shitty cutscene about some dumbass sitting at the table eating soup? Seriously.
So
I mean,
you're saying that
there's no balance there.
So you're saying that the dreams should be cutscenes.
The dreams should be cutscenes. You give me a 2 or 3 minute cutscene. It's not like they didn't work on some damn cutscenes in this game, because there's a cutscene for walking down the street. I mean, if you couldn't give me a cutscene for this engaging story, but you're going to give me a cutscene about some guy eating soup? I mean, that cutscene is literally like 5 minutes long.
Dude, the guy eating soup was a prevalent part of the story.
Oh, it's a prevalent part of the story.
Yeah, because the soup was poisoned.
Okay, well, why can't I get a prevalent part of his
you
past
just ruined
for the cutscene?
You ruined her. Spoiler
alert. Dude, it's like 2 hours into the game. It ain't no big deal.
Thing is, though, most Japanese RPGs are very... cutscene heavy during the beginning and toward the end of the game. But I mean, the middle part of the game is where you get the bulk of your gameplay.
It's gonna be Zero's tag for his review on Lost Odyssey. Why do I need a cutscene for a bowl of soup?
Well, I won't be reviewing the game because it's not fair for me to review the game. It's not my thing.
Your style.
It's not my style of game, and I picked it up because I really enjoyed Blue Dragon. I enjoyed Blue Dragon because of its lighthearted look. It wasn't like. There wasn't a cutscene like every 5 seconds.
It didn't take itself seriously.
It doesn't, and that's the thing that I think I don't like about Lost Odyssey is it is Final Fantasy. It really is Final Fantasy.
Dude, it's like a mature, even more sophisticated version of Final Fantasy.
Oh man, you're just these message boards are just gonna light up.
You're gonna light up like a Christmas
tree.
It is,
dude. I mean, actually, to tell you the truth,
it's a good thing we don't have like phone calls.
The only Final Fantasy.
You don't know what you're talking about.
In terms of sophistication, the only Final Fantasy that really holds
a
candle to Lost Odyssey is probably Final Fantasy XII and. I don't know, maybe 6 and 4 in terms of sophistication. It's a very sophisticated story. Because, I mean, if you really get right down to it, about half of the Final Fantasy games are kind of they're epic in scale, but at the same time, the characters are very juvenile.
But can you explain to me what is sophisticated about the story without spoiling anything? Because 2.5 hours into it, the only thing I know is that two of my characters are immortal. Neither one of them know why the fuck they're immortal or where the fuck they are. And there's some magic going on with some creepy guy. I mean, that's not sophistication to me. That's every other RPG ever.
Well, thing
is,
forget the soup, bitches.
Thing is, I see sophistication in not just like the storyline, which is the most obvious, blatant version of sophistication, but a lot of your architectural designs and art direction, I think, are even on a higher sophisticated level than... probably about half of the Final Fantasies.
Well, I will give you that the city is very nice and very in design, and I like the way it looks.
And the music, I think, is really, really good, but it doesn't hit you over the head like most other RPGs do. It's more of a subtle experience.
I like the music, actually. I actually do like the music. But it was so funny to me when I played it, and you get to the beginning where you're going through the city, and you're riding through the city, and it still scribbles the title on the screen. I was like, I was waiting on it to start with an F. I really was. I was like, Final Fantasy. I was waiting on it because it was like exactly the same thing as every other Final Fantasy that I can remember. Who's the train ride into the city? Guess what? Here comes the title. Oh, wait. Just scribble it out. Lost Odyssey.
Yeah, I mean, it really is very similar to Final Fantasy, and I would say it's good enough of a game to deserve the title.
So here's a question.
I don't mean to be taking up too much time.
No, seriously, it's a big title.
It's a big title right now. I mean, we spent 10 minutes on Oblivion. I think we can handle some time on Lost Odyssey.
A lot of reviewers are pretty much bashing the game.
Really? Which reviews are you reading?
Yeah, it's not getting great reviews.
It's getting
eights and nines.
See,
he's part of the problem.
The ones that I've seen have not been
eight. What do you mean an eight?
The ones that I've seen have not been eight and nine.
The bad ones were, I think, XPlay gave it a 3 out of 5.
GameSpot.
And GameSpot gave it a 2.5, but like IGN, GameSpot, all these, 1UP, they're all giving it like eights.
I read IGN's good review. That was the only good review I saw on it.
Well, GameSpot gave it an eight and
a lot of. Even the ones that are decent reviews are knocking it down for the low times and so forth. So my question, before I got assaulted by people who were telling me I was wrong. My question was, and you don't just look at scores. You're part of the problem. If you read the reviews, they're bashing the low times.
I didn't need to read the reviews because I'd already made my decision that I was going to purchase it.
But anyway.
Thank you.
Anyway. My question is, there was a lot of debate about the fact that GameSpot was considering re-reviewing the game and changing their score.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Because the retail version is different than the version that they played.
Well, this
so
is.
Do you think it's deserving of a re-review for all the players, or all the places that knocked the load times?
Only if they knocked it for the score, or only if they knocked the score for the load times.
Yeah, I heard.
But if you're only going to give it,
it's not just about the score. It's about like if you can score a game 8.5, but if you bash it for the entire review about load times, and somebody reads that, even if it scores 8.5, they're going to say, "Well, it's got shitty load times. I don't want to buy it." Because even if it scored 8.5, if I saw that the load times were excessive, I wouldn't buy it.
Then why couldn't you just rewrite the article?
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
You don't have to give it a new score.
Should it be re-reviewed based on the retail version if the load times really aren't that bad?
Well, I think this is also partially Microsoft's fault for sending out a review code that was not the same as the retail. And I think that's part of their problem.
Yeah, because the review copy that a lot of the reviewers got, load times for battle... In that copy was between 20 to 30 seconds,
right? And that's a lot of them mentioned that.
And the retail version is about 5 or 6 seconds.
Right.
It depends on if you've been in the area. If you've been in the area longer, it's like a second. I mean, it's instant.
If you're in the same area for a long time, it's a little bit quicker.
So, do you think reviews should be rewritten to take that into consideration?
If the score was really affected by load time, I think yes.
Right. I agree.
I honestly don't think, even if the score wasn't affected, if the text of the review says something about 30 seconds load time, it should be rewritten.
I don't think it's the retail version. Right. Well, I don't think it should be like rewritten totally if that's the only complaint.
Say if it's just loads,
I think they should have an editor's note at the bottom of the review going, after playing the retail version, we found out that this has changed, so ignore.
At least make a news story about it on your website.
Right.
If you reviewed it in the load times you complained about, just come back and say, hey, you know, the load times in the retail version are a lot better.
Because I honestly saw a lot of people online, that was the sole reason they weren't purchasing the game. They were very excited about it, but with 30 seconds load time per battle, they were not going to buy it.
But that's a whole other discussion about just how freaking fickle and retarded gamers are these days.
That's true, but 30 seconds load time for a battle in an RPG game is excessive.
Oh, trust me, I know. So, I don't hate, you know... I hate the fact that when that happens, but it's not going to deter me from buying a game. I'm sorry, that's never going to deter me from buying a game.
Right.
Load times are not going to deter me. That's like the Devil May Cry issue. You guys spend 25 minutes installing it at the beginning? Fuck, I ain't buying that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Go make a sandwich.
That's a different discussion
play
for a
360
different
time. Version.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris Kramer's comment, the Capcom PR, was just great. He was like, I got to install it. Way! He's like, go make a damn sandwich. Watch the artwork on screen. It's cool. He's like, get over it. Right. I'm like, see, that's just awesome.
I mean, it is kind of shitty that, have to wait for it to install on the PS3 version, basically, so it can match the 360 version.
Well, what I'm mad about is the fact that this is the first game that actually forces you to install it.
Sometimes, like with
Virtual Fighter, they gave you an option. You want longer load times, then download it.
Granted, you should always do it because it does help.
Yeah, but eat your hard drive space up, man.
What are you going to use it for other than?
That's true.
You know what, though?
Yeah, it's not like
But if every game starts. But if people use that as a leverage to freaking. to skip out on better
Well, yeah, you know, Hotshots Golf is actually going to have a mandatory 5-gig install
so
when
Lost
it comes
Planet.
Out.
So, a game that's a year old.
Right. So, but you know, I mean, there was a lot of talk about how Capcom was slapping Devil May Cry fans in the face by porting it to the 360 and all that stuff. And, you know, we all talked about how that was ridiculous and how they should be happy that more people are playing it. And then Capcom really did slap PS3 fans in the face. I mean, seriously, by making them install for 22 minutes to reach load times, to basically match load times on the 360.
Well, they're faster on the PS.
Slightly faster, but not, I mean, not, definitely not 25 minutes.
It's not like I'm
faster.
Waiting to play Devil May Cry on the 360. It's not like I'm like, whoo. Oh man, this load time is terrible.
Well,
right.
I don't even notice it. People see now loading screens and they just freak out. It's like, you know, it's called CD, man. Get over
right.
it. We're not in cartridge land
yeah,
anymore.
This, it's not like it's not like the N64 anymore, folks.
Like I said, if you're reaching, you know, 30-second load time, that's something to complain about. But a couple seconds, shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Wow.
Alrighty.
But
then.
I think, you know, a lot of it too is that. People are spoiled by games like Uncharted, where it loads once at the beginning of the game, and you'll never see another load screen the whole time you play.
Yeah.
And what's funny is, like, the people, and we're still on this whole Lost Odyssey thing about, you know, the whole load times. It's like, okay, so let me get this right. You're going to spend 100 hours playing an RPG, but you're going to complain about 3 seconds of load time.
Right. Well, what I think's funny is that it sparked this huge on the main page and everywhere else, not just M4G, but everywhere else. The Devil May Cry thing sparked this huge thing from Xbox fanboys about how you guys got to wait 25 minutes to play Devil May Cry on PlayStation. And Lost Odyssey sparked this huge thing from PlayStation fanboys about how you got 4 discs you got to change. Neither one of them matters. It really, in the grand scheme of things.
Now, the one thing that does matter, though, is that shitty packaging in Lost Odyssey.
Oh, that's
it.
Is.
I got to bring
it
that
is.
Up. Because
that's
nobody,
piss poor.
I mean, here's 3 discs. Poor. Oh, look, we almost forgot about the fourth one. Let's throw it in a little sleeve and throw it in the case.
I remember there were a couple, actually, original Xbox games that were like that, too. They had a bonus disc or something.
They were just slapped
and
in
it was
there.
Always just thrown in a white sleeve.
But this is one of the game discs. This is one of the freaking game discs. It's in the box and slapped in a little white sleeve. I'm like, you know, when I get to the fourth disc, I don't even have to get the box out.
Right.
I just got my little sleeve here. I'm good to go.
Right.
I promise you, Microsoft, you can make that nub a little bit longer to fit that extra disc on there. And
did you see
the
Asian packaging?
Oh, it's
the
so
case
much
is a little thicker, and it's got like a book inside of the CD.
Yeah,
it's
so much better.
I saw that.
It's
Lazy Americans.
It's about the size of the Halo 3 limited edition.
Yeah.
Package, which would have been.
But it won't fall out and scratch.
right.
No, it's just thrown in a plastic sleeve. Here you go.
Microsoft has been the king of terrible packaging.
You think?
It's been ridiculous.
I like the stacking discs thing. Like, it works for Blue Dragon and it works for the 3 discs in Lost Odyssey.
Yeah.
But the fourth one in a little sleeve, that's just funny.
See, I'm not a big fan of the stacking thing either. I wasn't a fan of the stacking thing for Halo 2 when the Halo 2 Special Edition.
Well, if it's
the Special Edition disc and the regular disc were stacked one on top of each
but
other.
But that packaging was also poor. But with Blue Dragon, it actually works because they actually fit in there and they don't fall all over the place. They never fall off the nubs. So,
yeah, and when they put them in 2 separate slots like the Halo 3 Edition, it just falls out and scratches.
True.
I've actually bought movies that actually had stacked.
Yeah.
Well,
stacked.
A lot of DVDs are stacked now. Like, they're stacked like on top of each other, like at an angle.
Yeah. I think the best packaging was the PlayStation 2 flip disc, like they had with Metal Gear Solid 2 with the Zone of, or the not Metal Gear Solid 2 with Zone of Enders.
Zone of
Enders. Metal Gear Solid 2 demo
with the flip.
With the flip. Yeah.
There's
was,
a lot of games that do that too.
Yeah.
It's extra plastic.
Better than plastic.
Extra plastic.
We're as
running
long as
short
it,
on plastic.
As long as it's not Prey, where they hide the disc underneath everything.
No, no.
Like, did I get a disc? Shit, where's the game?
Man.
All right, but Wumbo, is that all your fondling this week?
Yeah.
Man, that guy, his fondling got off on a huge tangent.
It did. There was a lot of stuff going on. But
well, you know, we've always heard about Jason's longevity when he fondles. So.
Wow. Comes from practice.
Congratulations for the stamina joke.
Congratulations for the masturbation stamina joke.
All three girls who are on the who listen to the podcast.
Wait, we've got 5 listeners and more than half of them are girls?
Wow.
Whoa.
That's solid.
Metal Gear solid.
Metal Gear.
All right, we're moving on to you. What are you playing?
What have I been playing? Let's see, I put a lot more time into Mass Effect, which we were discussing before the podcast, that I think I have more hours into it without having beat it even once than anybody else. I have 25 hours into it, and I still haven't beat it.
My goal is to get the completionist achievement on the first playthrough and
damn.
Try and if I mean I don't know that it's possible to get the completionist achievement on the first playthrough because I don't know if it takes into account Renegade points and Paragon points, but my plan is to try and finish every side mission that I can the first playthrough, which I've done a good majority of them, because I'm the type of person that when I play a game like that, rather than playing it more than once, I want to see everything I can on my first playthrough. Because it really, I mean, otherwise you're not getting the full extent of the story the first playthrough if you don't play everything. And granted, the side missions can be a little repetitive.
Planet, kill enemies.
But you know what's funny is a lot of the criticism that Mass Effect got as far as the planets go, and it's valid criticism, is that it's basically, you know, just rockiness with a different texture skin.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. But if you look past the ground and you look at the atmosphere above you, the planets are pretty different looking. Most of them are. I was thinking, I was on a planet, was it Solcrum, I think is what it's called. It's actually a moon. And there's the huge blue sun that's moving as you're standing there looking at it, and the other planet above it. And I was thinking, man, it's pretty amazing to me that in most of the reviews you read of Mass Effect, nobody mentions how gorgeous the atmospheres are above the planet. But it literally, you could sit there and stare at the sun for like 5 minutes. Don't do that in real life.
Yeah.
It's very bad for your eyes. But it's, you know, the sun's just blue and sort of swirling around.
Now, I got a question for you. With all this time you put into Mass Effect, how do you feel about the DLC?
I'm very excited about
it. It's an hour and a half of content for $5.
Right.
And there's a new race.
Yep, and so. it actually fits in with the story, which means that it's not like after the story you have to actually play through the game again. Oh, gosh, I got to play through the game again to play the downloadable content. But I'm incredibly excited about it. And it actually introduces a race that was very prominent in the book, the Batarians, so... Very excited about
it. There's a lot
that.
Of people that are throwing a stink because it's $5 for an hour and a half worth of content.
Dude, I don't care. I'll pay $5 for another
Boo
hour and a half worth of Mass
over
Effect.
Over it, you know?
Yeah,
pay $5 for one song.
No doubt.
Guitar Hero.
Well, yeah. That was kind of the argument. I mean, there's some people throwing a stink about it, but...
No, I'm very excited about that.
It's a lot better than the KOTOR DLC.
Yes.
Which was just garbage.
Yes.
So, any word as to when the downloadable content for Mass Effect?
I thought it was springtime, like March or April.
Downloadable content is starting to get big. We got a couple of things about that news that just kind of snuck in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, I played a lot of Mass Effect this week. Just, like I said, trying to explore every little nook and cranny that I can. It's pretty awesome now that my assignments tab... you've got, you know, missions and assignments, and my assignments tab is nearly completely full. Like, I've collected all the data disks, all the matriarch writings, all the just about all the elements, all the League of One medallions and the Solarian ID tags. So I'm getting down to where I don't have very many side quests left, which means I can actually go ahead and finish the game. Which I'm pretty excited about, but
yeah, so I heard that the ending. The ending. I know that Zero said that there's like nothing really special about the ending, but I heard that it's exciting.
I heard the last hour and a half of it's very exciting.
The last hour and a half is very exciting, but the ending is just kind of like you expected it,
right?
Well, you're like, well, okay,
you
I
got
get
two
it.
More coming. So,
oh, I know, and I'm excited about that. I'm definitely excited about that. It should come to the PS3.
Perhaps, yeah.
But you know what? It's going to force you to buy the 360 version because you can carry your character.
Yes, that's the big thing. I'm definitely buying the 360 version just for that.
Yep.
But anyways, what else have I played? Some Rock Band. Played some Rock Band actually last night with my wife. She was jamming on the drums and I was playing guitar.
Nice.
And, the multiplayer career. Had some fun with that. Let's see, what else did I play? Played some Guitar Hero. Rocked out on some Guitar Hero. Finally, finished the last... I started, as I mentioned before, I took a big break on Guitar Hero from like when Guitar Hero 2 launched on the PlayStation 2 till I bought Guitar Hero 3 for the 360. So I started on medium on Guitar Hero 3. And it was probably a mistake because I have 5 stars on everything first time through. So I probably should have started on hard. But I'm getting. I all I have to do is beat the boss battle now, the final boss battle on medium, and then I can let myself move to hard.
I wonder why you're playing on medium. I saw you're playing on medium. Like,
yeah, I
still. I don't know if you're going for achievements or actually just.
No, because there. I hadn't. I was kind of out of practice. Because I didn't play a lot of Guitar Hero 2 because I didn't like the songs. So I was kind of out of practice from basically wailing on Guitar Hero 1. So I decided to start on medium just so I wouldn't be frustrated out of the gate. But you're absolutely right, Zero, by the way, about the guitar in Rock Band. It's so much easier than the guitar in Guitar Hero. So much easier.
Much easier.
So I was actually playing on hard and then expert last night when we were playing.
Yeah, expert on Rock Band is like hard
right.
on Guitar Hero. It's ridiculous.
Right. And then I also played, of course, the big one that I was very excited to play was the demo for MOB08 The Show, which anybody that's listened to the podcast for, 2 weeks knows how excited both myself and the Boogeyman were for that one. And it's phenomenal. It's completely everything I imagined it to be. I'll let Boogeyman go into more detail because I'm sure he's pretty excited about it too. So.
But that's all he's been playing. What are you talking about?
It's absolutely fantastic, and it's everything I hoped it would be. I can't wait till March 3rd. And then the other one that I played was, as mentioned already by Gambus Khan, was Pata 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 Paul. And you know what? I was one of the people when I first heard about this game, I thought, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my entire life. You're controlling an army of mini cyclopses by playing the drums. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing that I've ever heard of since DK Jungle Beat. But you know what? It works so well, and it's so clever and deep and accessible all at the same time, and the music is ridiculously addictive. It gets in your head and stays there for the rest of the day, whether you want it to or not. And there's so much customization with your armies, and there's a lot of strategy involved, and it's just completely phenomenal. If you have a PSP and you haven't downloaded the demo yet, definitely nab it off the PlayStation Store, because it's freaking awesome. And it's $20 when it comes out. $20.
Or if you want to download, you can go to your nearest
GameStop
location, pre-order, and get a free demo.
There you go.
Yeah. Plug.
And if you beat, actually, there's an incentive. If you think you're going to buy the game, there's an incentive to play the demo, because if you play the demo and you beat it, you can actually save your progress, and you get a special spear that you won't get if you don't play the demo first. So if you're going to buy the game, you should definitely get the demo.
It sounds like somebody was just high as shit.
Because you
talk about cyclopses and spears and playing the drums, and I'm just like, what the hell is going on?
When you play it, it really does seem like somebody was probably high as shit when they designed it. But there's a part where you have to play the trumpet for a giant tree so it can dance and get the branches out of its crown. It's
this is kind of the fondling that I'm used to hearing from Gambus.
No doubt.
What the hell is going on here?
But him and his fruit bearing trees.
Hey, shut up, Animal Crossing.
Oh, snap. Oh, snap.
Touché.
Two worlds.
Oh, man. Two worlds pops up. It rears its ugly head again. But no, seriously, it's... like I said, I thought it was going to be the stupidest game ever, but once I started playing it, I literally played the demo for an hour. Because it's so good. So... definitely, definitely, definitely pick it up and play it. And then, what else? What else? What else? What else? I can't think. I mean, that's really probably about it as far as stuff that I played this week. I can't think of anything else.
That wraps up your fondling.
That wraps up my fondling for this week.
All right. So we're going to move on. Gabba gabba hey! We're gonna move on to the special guest or two right after Wombat.
Yeah.
Oh man, haven't been playing a whole lot in the last couple. What the hell?
What are you trying to ignore that mood? Let's turn the lights out in here.
Haven't been playing a whole lot of games in the last couple weeks. Basically because I've been. Painting in the den. I made a St. Louis Cardinals shrine. I finally finished it, and it's freaking awesome.
It's funny.
It's like Matt came over, and he like looks at it. He's like, "That's awesome." Sucks that it's the Cardinals, but it's awesome. Because, I mean, basically, I painted the back half where the weight room and everything is. It's classic red. I got Cardinals border on the top and the bottom. It basically looks like a big fucking souvenir shop.
Nice.
I got a 1942 Cardinals jersey hanging up. Big Albert Pujols fat head sitting on the wall. I got two big Cardinal banner towels on either side
nice.
Of him. I mean, it really stands. I got my old Cardinals touch light lamp over there, and it's like it's disgusting.
He's right. If it wasn't the Cardinals, yeah. It would be pretty yeah. kick-ass.
But anyway, so I've been cool. painting more than anything, just trying to do some house renovations before it gets warm, and so I don't have to waste all my time doing in the house crap before it gets warm, because I actually want to go outside this year. It'd be kind of nice.
What, outside?
What's outside? Hey, shit outside.
And you want to go outside?
Yeah. But what I have been playing...
be sure to take your copy of Bulk Tie with you.
Yeah, no doubt. And
actually
a
still,
lot of
actually
sunscreen.
Still, I still have Bulk Tie. All the Game Boys, yeah. I still have Bulk Tie lying around somewhere. But been playing... I played some Devil May Cry. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, you better leave it at that.
I make you cry.
Shut up.
let's just say
I'm not a fan. So I'll just leave it at that. We'll finally beat Blue Dragon as of today. Yes.
As of today, the
4 month journey of beating Blue Dragon will finally happen tonight.
Hey, that's some quality game time there.
Yeah,
that's
is.
Like 5 months.
For me, that
can't believe you guys are still talking about Two Worlds and Blue Dragon. Shut the fuck up.
We talked about Oblivion earlier.
But I feel it necessary to beat Blue Dragon just because the ending is like ridiculously long. Because I was going to cheat and watch the ending on YouTube and just get rid of Blue Dragon, but then I saw how long the ending was, and I'm like, alright, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm going to go ahead and beat it and give the game its due. So stop biting me, cat. Anyway, what else? Play Guitar Hero, of course. Download the Dream On.
Dream
song.
On.
Haven't played that. I downloaded that this morning, but I'll probably play that tonight when I get home. Late to the party, I finally played and bought Scarface for the original Xbox.
Man, this is going to be the Late to the Party podcast.
We should rename a segment called Late to the Party.
Late to the Party.
Big reason I spent like $265 in DVDs, and one of them was the Ultimate Collector's Edition.
The Ultimate Collection of one movie.
Collector's Edition of Scarface. And they had like a behind-the-scenes making of, and I never got to play Scarface when it came out, because like everything else, it came out when I just didn't have time to play it. When you work in retail, you don't get much time once September hits to play anything. So pretty much the next, just get used to it, the next few months when you hear me, you'll be like, Assassin's Creed, you're finally playing that? It's like, yeah, because I never got a chance to, and everybody else got a chance to play it. So there'll be a lot of games you'll be hearing me like say, hey, I'm just finally playing this game. So Late to the Party, Boogeyman will be like my nickname from now on. And of course, most of my time has been divulged in playing and getting excited for, and reading forums, and wasting a lot of my time just reading and waiting for TV shows to talk about MLB The Show for the PS3. And when I downloaded the demo, I mean, I'm a big fan of the series as it is, but to see just the leap that they've done visually, literally they've taken 2K's graphical engine and put it on top of the show's animations and gameplay.
Yep, basically.
So basically you took the prettiness of 2K, which was the only thing that it had going for it last year, and threw it on a better game.
Right.
The textures, the player models, the players' faces, I mean, just the animations are incredible. The gameplay is a lot tighter this year. The crowd now not only like stands up and cheers like it did in the past, but now they'll like reach for foul balls.
That's pretty cool.
It's the power of the cell.
Yeah, you'll see they'll knock beach balls around in the crowd. Because I was sitting there, I was playing in one inning, and unfortunately the demo is only a three-inning demo of the Red Sox and the Rockies from last year's World Series. But they did the demo right, because it, like, ends, like, if you just played a nine-inning game. It'll have, like, the whole ending celebrations and everything else, which is pretty neat. They didn't just say, okay, you just play three innings of the show, play by the game.
Right.
But it was neat, because I was sitting there playing in one of the innings, and I'm looking in the background as I'm at bat, and I'm like, the heck is that in the background? So I paused it and went to a replay, and I saw a beach ball getting knocked around the stadium, and it literally went from the back right field bleachers all the way around to the third baseline. So I'm like, that's pretty impressive.
That
just
is very
little
impressive.
Nuances that you notice if you don't you know, if you're pitching and you didn't leave the controller alone, they'll like, you'll see like people like talking on the sides, like first base coach is talking to the guy on base, or the catcher talking to the umpires.
You know what else I really like? I don't know if you noticed this. If you click when you're at bat, if you click, and I don't know if it did this last year. I know it didn't on the PlayStation 2 version. I don't know if it did on the PlayStation 3 version last year. If you're batting and you click in the right stick, it goes to a first-person view from your batter, and you can look around to see.
It did do that last year.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
I'm hoping to see. I can't wait for the Road to the Show mode this year too, because you'll be able to like read the third baseman signs and stuff like
that. You have to read the third baseman signs.
And the thing is, basically, what they've done is they've taken already the incredible gameplay of the show, and they've added more on top of it. Not only did they make it prettier, but they added more. Now you got the in-depth pitcher's analysis, pitcher-batter analysis. So now you can see what the pitcher's tendencies has been, and it's not just for that particular game, but it's for like you can check for the whole entire season. So see how you're doing against a particular pitcher. You're like, oh crap, I'm going against Josh Beckett. You know, how well have I fared against him in the past? What does he usually throw me on the first pitch? If you can read this kind of stuff, just like if you're a scouting report kind of guy looking at that kind of stuff. So totally excited, geeking for that. And I'm actually, since I can't take my freaking birthday off this coming Friday, happy birthday.
this coming Friday, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, all checks can be sent to my house.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Wish me an old-ass 34-year-old birthday.
Ugh. Old motherfucker.
Old.
He's as old as my dad.
But, I'm going to push my Christmas compensation time all the way back to take a couple days off and enjoy some of the show. So
that's a good idea.
But other than that, I haven't really been playing a whole lot, just getting excited for the show. But I will be playing this week Dragon Quest Monsters for the Wii. What's that? Boogeyman's playing a Wii game? Yeah.
Dragon Quest Monsters.
When that's a role-playing game, who is it being made by that I play? Who's the Dragon Quest creator?
You mean the art designer, Akira Toriyama?
Thank you.
Yeah.
You like Dragon Ball?
I don't like Dragon Ball, though, oddly enough.
I don't know if I've ever told the story on the podcast that when I was a very young child, my mom bought me Dragon Power on the NES, was like the Dragon Ball Z game on the NES.
Dragon Power is the domestic version of Dragon Ball Z.
Right.
It's the exact same game. They just cut Goku's hair off.
Right.
So his hair's
short. He still got the monkey tail, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was not a good game.
Oh, of course, yeah. Also,
no, I thought it was decent.
It was, I mean, it was all right. It wasn't good.
I actually liked it back then.
Right.
Back in the day.
I used to play it a lot, but it was, I don't know, it wasn't, I didn't like it enough to play it was pretty decent.
It was like a combination of Zelda meets Kung Fu.
It was. That's very, very, very accurate.
Because it's like overhead map, and you run around, and you're
you do this
freaking
little thing, and he shoots like sand or something out of his hands or something.
Yeah, because they graphically de-enhanced it.
Right.
So it's not like he's throwing the
fireball.
He's throwing like some sand or something.
Right.
And then he's like kicking everybody.
Right.
And his tail, like his monkey tail that Goku has in the show, they made it look like to where it's his belt.
Right.
Like his karate belt.
Right.
So they actually, like, messed with the graphics. But
he's got, like, this little staff that he hits people with.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the staff of
Nimbus. I know nothing about Dragon Ball, but I just my mom bought me that game on NES.
Damn you!
Did you know that the original Dragon Ball series is actually based on an old, ancient Chinese legend called
the
Legend
Monkey King,
of the,
right?
Yeah, the Monkey King.
The following curatorial history is being brought to you by Gamescom.
But
anyways, like I said, I could care less about Dragon Ball, but I wanted to mention that.
Back to you, Boogeyman.
Yes, and other than that, the last couple weeks I provided, of course, the theme song to the N4G podcast, which I'm sure I'll provide more and more as time goes on, but whip something quickly together, so give us something little bit of praise and a little bit of, hey, it goes to this particular podcast, not just a random song that we threw in there for the hell of it. So
you know something? I don't want to be biased or anything, but I think our theme song is probably the best opening theme song out of all the podcasts.
Biased.
I'll write that check out to you later.
Xbox fanboys have Xbox, and the Sony fanboys have Fandroid. We need some sort of N4G fanboy designation. N4 geek or something. Just like some some sort of somebody come up with that. Come up with
somebody,
a
somebody else do it.
Somebody come up with like a derogatory term for an N4G fanboy.
Oh, of course. Thanks to Zero for posting a link to the site after we got a question request on where they can get the music that has been put on the site. And thanks to the couple of you out there who actually sent me friend requests.
So. You can see.
So I got new friends. I got new fans.
You can see. You can see Brian the Boogeyman Peterson's evil picture on his MySpace.
Oh, good times. Good times. I guess it's my turn.
Yeah. I have to talk about. Been a long ass fondling.
I know. I'll try to get through mine.
It's been a marathon fondling.
I can cut out Lost Odyssey now. We talked plenty about that.
Yeah.
But I guess the first thing I got to talk about is the thing I played the most. Well, I segregated between the two was Cold Sip Saga was the big one. One of the big ones I played this week. I'm playing that with my wife in the Alliance mode games, and I have to say that I've never been a fan of Magic, but I am so addicted to this game.
Yeah.
I love collecting the cards. I love playing the strategy.
You're gonna turn into one of those guys.
I'm gonna turn into one of those guys when I sit around. My holy llama is more powerful than yours.
Than your fireball card. Oh my
because
God.
Because he casts Phantasm when he lands on a green square.
Wow. But you just said a whole lot of stuff that I don't want to know anything about.
Well, you know what? Before I played the game, I didn't want to know anything about it either. But then I played the game, and it's like Monster Monopoly.
Nice.
It's like Magic the Gathering with Monopoly. You move around a board, and the pieces are separated by elements, generic, traditional thing. You got fire, water, earth, wind. You also have neutral characters.
By your power,
there's no Captain Planet.
I am Captain Cold Sip Saga.
But it's really about collecting the cards. Because, you know, out of all the games I've played, I think I've won, like, very few of them.
Nice.
It's just about collecting the cards. And just the layer of strategy that's inside of it. I mean, it is the ugliest game I've played in a long time. I mean, it is absolutely terrible. I said it in my review. I said the character models look like rejects from Phantasy Star Online.
Nice.
I mean, it's terrible. Graphically, it's terrible. The music's nice, but the graphics are just blah.
I don't know. I like the art style.
I like the art style on the cards, but just like Lost Odyssey, they're not animated. So it's just a picture.
Well, I mean, just like Lost Odyssey. Lost Odyssey's animated.
Well, I'm not talking about the game. I'm talking about reading.
Oh, okay.
There's no cutscene. Yeah. I'm just reading. Well, these are really well-drawn pictures, but they're just art. They're not, like, animated.
Yeah.
I would have
with a talon claw that swipes the card in half.
Now, see,
a sword that comes out of nowhere and goes...
It would have been much more interesting to actually see the two creatures battle, because there's some really cool creatures, don't get me wrong. But just seeing the cards looking at each other... Holy Llama versus Sorcerer, like attack. Look at the claw come down. It is really
I didn't
generic.
Know llamas had claws.
Llamas do have claws. Shut up.
It's a fantasy llama.
Oh,
it's from another
it's
universe.
It's a Phantasy Star llama. Yeah.
This is one of those games that you could play with no graphics. I mean, that's
like it could be text based.
It could be text based, and it would still be fun. I don't know why I dig it so much. It's just really fun. I love collecting
the
cards.
I'll start passing my Yu-Gi-Oh games off to you.
I don't want to play Yu-Gi-Oh. I'm sorry. I don't know what appeals to me about this game. I just think it's fun.
Hey, nothing wrong with it if you enjoy it.
I didn't know.
He's going to become an RPG player here.
Yeah,
soon. Blue Dragon.
No, this is not an RPG.
Art of Lost Odyssey and now Cold Sip Saga.
He's going to turn into a Dungeons & Dragons player. He's going to wear his cloak over here.
Yeah, he's going to start
20-sided die. And there's like, so again, should we talk about this week? 20-sided die. All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of cloaks, did I ever tell a story about the guy that showed up at my door when I was in college in a cloak? We're sitting there one day.
Really?
We're sitting
was
there
it Jason?
No, it was not. We're sitting there one day in our apartment, and it's me and my roommate, and all of a sudden we hear somebody knocking on the door. And I open the door, and there's this guy that I've never seen before standing at my front door. And I'm like, hello? And he goes, yeah, is this where the Taekwondo party is? And I'm like, no. He goes, is this apartment 17? I said, no, that's next door. Well, like 2 weeks later, knock on the door again. I open the door, and there's a different guy, a smaller Asian-looking man wearing a cloak, standing at my door.
Was he a Jedi?
He was not a Jedi. Standing at my door, and he goes, hey, is this where the Dungeons & Dragons party is?
Oh, my God.
I said, no. He goes, is this apartment 17? I said, no, that's next door. So apparently they're having some kind of crazy Taekwondo Dungeons and Dragons party next door.
Oh, my God.
And you weren't invited. That's why you're so
I wasn't invited.
Yeah, they probably beat each other up between the dice rolls.
But I was just thinking about what kind of thing could go on at a Taekwondo Dungeons and Dragons party. And the concept frightened me to the core of my being.
I roll six dice and kick you in the nuts.
Right. Basically.
Anyway.
Anyways.
Cold Step Saga, it's good. It's good. It's on the 360, so it's not going to get the
Which is odd, because the first one was on the PlayStation 2.
And that's the thing about this one, is it's not like a sequel. It's more like a re-envisioning of the original. It's just got a bunch more. It's like almost 500 cards in it, so there's a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's addictive, and if you're tired of big, gruffly men shooting each other with machine guns, it's fun. And it's only $40.
That's not bad.
Lord knows I can't play any more first-person shooters.
I know. I tried. Right now, I just can't play any more first-person shooters.
Yeah, I'm having that trouble, too, because I still need to finish Call of Duty, and I'm like, man, I don't even want to play Call of Duty.
I know, it's
sad
terrible.
Because I saw him beat episode
not,
two. Yeah,
Call of Duty's not terrible. We should clarify.
No, it's terrible that I can't play these amazing games.
Exactly.
Anymore.
I mean, as big as a Half-Life fan I am, I don't want to play episode two. Because I don't want to see my gun right now.
Right.
I don't want to play a first-person shooter. And it probably explains why I don't have one. I have one first-person shooter on here, but
that's
I'm going to dog
one.
It. So,
you know, speaking of first-person shooters, I've been thinking about this, about how you know, the Japanese audience over in Japan, they don't play that many first-person shooters. You know, because you know they get sick because they're more susceptible to motion
sickness.
Well. When I really thought about it, because sometimes I think really deeply about certain things.
Jack Handy.
Well, I've come to the conclusion that first-person shooters, if I was a Japanese person, in my mind...
And you want to be.
A first-person shooter game is the equivalent of watching Cloverfield or Blair Witch Project.
That's true.
Because both...
If you're not used to it.
Those movies... Just like first-person shooters are built around the concept of putting you there.
Right.
So, in other words, to the Japanese consumer, a first-person shooter game, like America's, like half of the games that are coming out are first-person shooters, that'd be like us, like, talking about some other country and, like, most of the movies that they're putting out are Cloverfield / Blair Witch Project movies, where all the movies are being shot from a handheld camera. And, you know, I guess it's one of those things that when you look at it from a different cultural perspective, first-person shooters doesn't really seem that cool anymore, you know?
I think part of that is why first-person shooters are mostly a hardcore gamer's type of game, because if you're not used to the motion in a first-person shooter, it's going to make you sick. I know if I'm playing a first-person shooter and my wife's trying to watch... Or she's sitting on the couch, she can't watch it. It makes her sick. So, definitely got to be used to swinging the gun around.
Well, some games are different than others, too. Like games like Fear and Shadowrun are so fast that they still make hardcore gamers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was listening to the Kojima Report, the podcast about, you know, Hideo Kojima and stuff. And the thing is, Hideo Kojima and, like, some of the producers of Metal Gear Solid 4... They were wanting to watch some, you know, American games like, you know, Call of Duty 4 and a couple others because they've heard that they're really good, you know. And they were I guess taking notes on, you know, what they thought was good about them and all and whatnot. And one of the things that Ryan Payton said about, you know, Hideo Kojima was he was taking notes and he was actually straining to watch the video. Like he was like trying to pay attention long enough, and then he would turn away because he was getting sick. And then he'd like turn back and watch some more just to take more notes, and then he'd have to turn away again because he was getting sick again. So I mean, they were like straining just to find out, you know, like what worked in like Call of Duty 4. They were doing like their research. So I thought that was pretty interesting how, you know, they were just like, you know, trying to keep from getting sick, whereas, you know, most American gamers, you know, we could play that stuff all day long.
Right.
Alrighty then.
It's a good point.
All of that comes from Cold Sub Saga.
No doubt. Yeah. That's a crazy-ass discussion.
It's all about building bridges, I guess.
But the other game that I separated my time with this week was Devil May Cry. And I have finished the game, and I have to say that it is the best Devil May Cry that I have ever played. And it is one of the best action games I have played in a long... Everybody's like laying down like when I was when I was listening to you guys talk about the show. Anyway... But, like, seriously, the boss battles in this game are phenomenal. Granted, it has Mega Man syndrome, where you will go back and fight these bosses. 3 times total, you will fight these bosses, and 1 time, all of them in 1 level.
Holy Toledo.
All of them in 1 level.
So that really is like Mega Man.
It is exactly like Mega Man. I mean, it was ridiculous. Okay, are you done?
I like the music to Devil May Cry.
It's like KMFDM.
Yeah.
Is what it is. It's like starts off like and then you hear this little guy talking. It's,
sounds like what was that? Power Mad 5000.
Power Man 5000. Well, yeah. See, KMFDM Power Man wanted to be KMFDM, right. But
that's what it sounds like. It's like Devil May Cry.
Devil May Cry.
But it's just
Devil's gonna cry.
I can't spoil anything because I was actually requested by Capcom not to spoil anything. But after playing through the game, it has a really, really good story. It has a really well done cutscenes. And what I appreciate the most is that it goes back to some old traditional Japanese things. Like the intro is ridiculously long and flashy.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's incredible
to
watch.
Give you that.
But the ending is also just as crazy and, like, ridiculous, and it actually has interactive parts to it in the last level. Like, you'll see this big, huge, giant cutscene, and then you fight something, and then you see this other big, giant cutscene, and, like, the end credits is, like, one of the most interesting things, because I thought you could play it. I'm sitting there watching the end credits, and you can actually play part of the end credits, which is really cool.
Like Hitman?
Yeah. And, like, I mean, it's just...
360.
Like Monkey Ball?
Yeah. But, I mean, it does so many old things that we forgot were cool, is really what it is. And upgrading your character is huge, because I went through the entire game, and I probably didn't buy half the upgrades that you can buy, because I just didn't earn enough stuff.
Yeah.
And then you can go back through it with the different abilities, and you still gain all your abilities, so you can go back to the first level and play with everything you had at the end of the game. So you're just, like, ridiculously powerful. And I have to say that I don't know how much I can talk about it, but Pandora's Box... is one of the coolest things ever.
I think you're pretty safe to talk about it, because I've seen a lot of websites talking
about
it.
Yeah, the Pandora's Box is like, when he first gets it, when your character first, I won't even say who gets it, but when you first get it, the cutscene that goes along with it is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I mean, it just, what he does in that cutscene, it just blew my mind how cool it was. It was so Japanese and so over the top, and there's so much of that in the game. There's so much over the top Japanese ridiculousness. Like, especially with Dante and Nero, the way they talk and what they say in the cutscenes, it's hilarious at times. It's laughable in other games, but it's so well done that you don't care. And the action's incredible, just like pulling off these crazy, ridiculous combos. And
you know, I will say that as someone who has never been a fan of the series, I played the first one. As I mentioned the last episode, I always thought Onimusha was the better. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's close enough.
Onimusha, whatever.
Was the better series from Capcom. at least comparing the ones that I played to the very first Devil May Cry, which was the only Devil May Cry I played. I played like 10 minutes of 2, and it sucked. I wasn't really excited about Devil May Cry 4, but when I played the demo, it does make me want to play the full game. So I think I'll probably end up picking it up and playing it.
The level designs are phenomenal, and they do a lot of what the original did, which God of War kind of copied off of, when you're like running away and you see the background and you're running towards the screen and you see how big the area is. It does a lot of that, and it's really beautiful when you see it.
Which, I'm not a huge fan of static backgrounds. But God of War did them very well.
Yeah, there are none in Devil May Cry.
Right.
I mean, it is all... And you can walk... You see something, you can walk over there. I mean, the castle that you're in the game, and you're walking away from it. You were just in there, and you were walking away from it, and you can still see it in the background. It's just...
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
It's got a nice sense of scale to the graphics.
Extremely awesome sense of scale. And the weapons are awesome, like all the different weapons you can get and the combo moves you can do. It's got a really deep combat system, but you can still play it by button mashing. It even has a mode called automatic where you just press the button and it does the moves for you. So you can still play if you're like a newbie. And that's nice, because like the last Devil May Cry was so freaking hard, nobody wanted to play it. May Cry 3 was so freaking hard. And when you beat the game, you can actually go back and watch the history of the entire series, and it explains all the storylines.
It's kind
of
like the fighting games that have the automatic mode.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Capcom tried that, and it sucked.
Yeah,
with
it was SNK terrible.
EO.
Yeah, for the GameCube.
For the GameCube. Oh, yeah.
Psycho Crusher.
Hit the analog stick. Right. Psycho Crusher. But no, if you're a fan of action games, and you've ever been a fan of Devil May Cry, this is, in my opinion, the best one yet. It's the most gorgeous one yet, and it was really fun. And some of the ending stuff, like the last three levels, are so epic in scale that it was just awesome. I love the last half hour of that game.
You talking about this game, I'm like really considering picking it up really soon.
My first playthrough took me 9 hours through 20 levels.
That's not bad. Maybe I'll rent it then. Because if it's 9 hours long, that's something I could probably bust through in a rental.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's not like it's one of those games that you're going to play through more than once because you can level up your character. Like, I'm only maybe halfway leveled up. So you want to go back, and then there's the harder difficulties and stuff like that, and the Bloody Palace mode. I only did 2 of the 12 secret missions on my first playthrough, so there's a lot of stuff in there to see and do. And like I said, the last half hour is just freaking awesome.
Man.
Especially one of the last boss fights. It was so epic in scale that I probably played that level for like 45 minutes before I got it completely beat. And it was awesome.
Sounds pretty sweet, man.
And I didn't review it, so the people can't go, oh, you beat it before you review it. I didn't review it, so.
There you go.
But yeah, we gave it a 9. It was definitely worth that. It was a great game. The other thing I played this week is I played something I hadn't played in a long time, and I forgot how much I loved it. It was Twisted Metal. I picked up Head-On Extra Edition for the PS2.
PS2, yeah.
And I got to play the... and this is funny because I didn't know this, but the Black 2, the one that was never released, it was called, I think, Harbor City.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually going to be an open-world game.
Really?
Yeah. And every level was intertwined to each other, so it was like a giant city like Paradise. And after you finish the level, you move on to the next spot, and you can drive around and do pickups and stuff. But the version that they give you in there is so rough. It's just like 4 stages. You run through them, and there's no story, nothing. But there's this huge, like, 40-minute documentary on the disc with Dave Jaffe and all the original creators of Twisted Metal. And they talk about the whole history of the series and what they thought of 3 and 4. Yeah.
Didn't think of 3 and 4. Well,
they did, yeah. There's some things they probably wanted to say, but they didn't, but...
They were trying to be polite.
But did you unlock the secret message on the disc?
Or did the secret message is huge because it means we're getting PlayStation 3 Twisted Metal.
Yes.
From David Jaffe. From David Jaffe and his new group Eat Sleep Play.
PlayStation 3 Twisted
PlayStation
Metal.
3 Twisted Metal.
Yeah, that's actually the secret message is Twisted Metal is on PS3.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. You'll see it in the video when you're watching the video. There's these numbers that pop up, and if you put letters to the numbers, it says Twisted Metal on PS3, is what it says.
Oh, snap.
But, yeah.
If that game's online, PS3...
It will be.
It better be online.
Yeah, it better be.
Which is my only complaint about
it. If they can make the PS2 one online, they can make a PS3.
It's not online.
But Twisted Metal Black online.
Twisted Metal Black
online
was online.
That's what I'm saying.
But Head On, that's the only complaint I have about it, is that it's not online.
Right.
But if you're a huge Twisted Metal fan... This is a must-buy. It's $20. It's got Head-On revamped for the PS2. It's got the 4 extra levels from Lost. It's got this little thing where you can go in and play a Sweet Tooth on foot.
And run around. That looked terrible.
It looks terrible. I did it. I ran around in it. I mean, it's not the greatest thing, but the little factoids you pick up are really cool.
Really?
Because it tells you little things about the series over time. And there's a couple spots in the documentary where he talks about things they had to cut from the original Twisted Metal Black, and they're pretty sadistic.
Nice.
It sounds to me like
Twisted Metal Black was amazing.
It was.
Sounds like to me this game is basically like a love letter for the Twisted.
It is a love letter from David Jaffe.
Or apology for not releasing one sooner on the PS3.
Yeah, it could be that too. But it's total fan service. If you're a Twisted Metal fan, you're gonna love it. If you're not a Twisted Metal fan, then there's no reason.
Because we always said when we first hesitated on buying a PlayStation 3, we said if Twisted Metal was on the launch lineup, we would have bought one.
There's so many people that would have bought a system if Twisted Metal was on it. Now that Twisted Metal's coming to it.
You know, I still think that Twisted Metal also had the greatest print advertisement I've ever seen. The A-bomb cloud that was Sweet Tooth's face. Do you remember that print advertisement? It was in the magazines and everything. It was like a big, like
I thought
cloud
that was
after
fake.
Huh?
I thought that was fake. I thought that was supposed to be the original announcement for Twisted Metal, but it was just some guy created it.
I thought it was a print ad. Maybe it was fake. I don't know.
There was a fake one that went out earlier or middle of last year that was a big mushroom cloud, had Sweet Tooth face, and it was supposed to be like the... Everybody guessed it was going to be Twisted Metal 3.
Well, maybe they should have had that as a print ad then.
They should have, because it was awesome. Don't get me wrong. The one they had was awesome, but... I love the series. 1, 2, and Black were three of the best games in the PlayStation era. 3 and 4 sucked. I can say it. I didn't make them. I don't work for Sony. They were terrible games. But if Dave Jaffe's coming back, and he also said he didn't know how it was going to be distributed, so it may turn into be a Warhawk.
Yeah.
Which, nothing wrong with that. No. Warhawk turned out great.
Yeah.
So.
If it turns out to be Warhawk, I just hope that he releases a disc version, because...
Well, Warhawk was a disc version, too, so...
I like my discs.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Do you like your discs of Tron?
Because
I downloaded that, and it sucks.
It was better, better than the other Tron.
It was better than the other Tron, but that's like saying my diarrhea is better than my poop. I mean...
Wow.
That both of those games are fucking terrible.
Once again, this podcast goes into the freaking
horrible.
Yeah,
no doubt. We were doing actually pretty well until that joke.
Except for the masturbation joke.
Right, right.
But, you know. And it went into the toilet, literally.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Discotron is terrible. Yeah. I'm sorry. I played
all
it for
about...
All
we need is an F-bomb from Womble, and we're all set.
Yeah.
Oh, just wait.
We'll try and refrain from that.
It's coming later.
We were actually, there was a suggestion on the forum that we keep it more safe for work, so.
Well, I tried.
Safe
we're
for work.
We try. We're doing all right so far.
Yeah, we are doing all right so
far.
Not
so bad. Diarrhea and masturbation go well hand in hand.
Depends on where you work, I guess.
It depends on where you work, yeah.
Yeah, if you're working in a cubicle, yeah. It'd be like, uh-oh, the boss is coming around the corner. Quick, lower the volume.
Yeah,
just
nobody.
Put some headphones on.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Anyway, next game I played, also sucked, was Conflict Denied Ops. I was probably the biggest advocate of this game because I loved the last one. What was it, Global Terror Strike or something like that. I liked it because it was a third person, like it was kind of like a generic Rainbow Six. Four-player co-op, online, that was a big thing. And that's the big thing with this is you have online co-op. And then I played it. And it's all first person, and it's ass. It is absolutely terrible. It's Call of Duty, D-O-D-D-Y. It's terrible. That's all I have to say. I played through the entire demo, and I hated it. Retarded AI, terrible aiming, shit piss poor graphics. It's awful.
Well, there goes the safe for work.
I'm sorry, but even the four-player co-op or two-player, how many ever player co-op this piece of crap is? I wouldn't subject my friends to playing this online. I'm sorry.
You wouldn't have those friends anymore.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You'd probably lose those friends if you tried to make them play that game.
Yeah, if you buy this game, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's not even a budget game. It's still like $60, I think.
Speaking of overrated not budget games that are $60, Zach was saying that if you should at least try a Jumper out because it's an easy 1,000 achievement points.
You know, I tried that last time with Beowulf and it sucked so bad that I couldn't even get achievement points in it.
I heard that you said it wasn't bad. Great.
Jumper?
Yeah.
The movie or the game?
The movie.
Oh, I don't know. They both look like ass. Well, Samuel L. Jackson's in it. That's never a good sign.
And Hayden Christensen's
in it. I like Samuel L. Jackson, but he's never in a good movie.
Nope.
I was at Juice. That was a good one.
The thing is with Samuel L. Jackson, whenever he is in a good movie, it's a low-profile movie.
I'm tired of these motherfucking movies with this motherfucking Hayden Christensen.
No, when Samuel Jackson's in a good movie, it's because he's accidentally cameoed, like
right.
in Star Wars.
Right.
Or Jurassic Park.
Basically, if it's not directed by Quentin Tarantino.
No. He was in Jurassic Park and Star Wars.
Barely.
But he was still in them. He got his arm chewed off.
It's like saying he was in True Romance. I think he was in it for like 30 seconds and got shot.
He was in Deep Blue Sea. Fucking shark ate him.
And then
he was in Sphere. That sucks.
And then he got his hand cut off in Star Wars.
Oh, good.
Yes.
He was in that with Hayden Christensen, too.
Yeah.
And Hayden Christensen's just a terrible actor. I don't know how he keeps getting work. How does he keep getting work? Moving on.
Moving on.
Next game I play is really like a non-game. I had to throw this in last night because I said I would talk about it. It's Endless Ocean for the Nintendo Wii.
How is that?
And the first time I heard about this, I'm like, I am never going to buy this. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. And then I watched a little segment on a couple people playing it, and I watched it, and I was like, you know what? That sounds really cool. There is no game here. This is not a game. You jump into a boat. You get a couple emails. They say, like, what was great was that, like, your tutorial even tells you, these people pay for our thing, so you might want to do their missions, but you don't have to. You don't have to do anything. So basically, you just drive the boat out into the middle of the ocean, press a button, you jump down, and you dive down. You just go down there and feed fish, look at them, swim around with them.
Yeah.
That's about it. But if you're a fan of, like, the oceanography and stuff like that, you will absolutely love it because there's so much down there. And you just swim around.
How does it look for a Wii game?
It looks good for a Wii game. It doesn't look like next gen-y. It just doesn't. Sports custom soundtracks. How crazy is that? You can import your own music with an SD card.
Weird.
Yeah. There's certain sections of the ocean I haven't been able to go yet because I don't have the super. Yeah, you play that on. There's a penguin on your boat, too. How awesome is that? You just walk up to him and talk to him. Like, pet him with your little finger.
Does he say anything?
No, he just squawks at you.
Oh, that's awesome.
But just like, when I first went down, it was just like little tropical fish and kind of boring. So I'm like, you know what, fuck this. So I took the boat and I went all the way out in the middle of the ocean. And there's sections I can't go because I don't have the equipment for it yet, but I want to go down. There was this thing called the Abyss Cavern, and I really wanted to go down in there.
Yeah.
But I couldn't because my equipment wouldn't let me. Then I started swimming around. I ran into a hammerhead shark, which was really cool. It was really cool because you're just swimming in like, oh, here it comes.
Is it first person or is it third person?
Third person.
Okay.
Yeah, but when you select a fish, it actually goes into first person and gives you these little options like you can feed it or you can touch it. And eventually you'd be able to like grab onto it and ride the whales and the dolphins and stuff. Huh. It's really cool. There's a lot of life.
$29, right?
$29.
So I mean, basically, like there was a big article on Yahoo this week about the woman who got divorced because of WoW because her husband wouldn't stop playing WoW.
Yeah.
We're going to see something in the next couple weeks that... you got divorced because you wouldn't stop playing Endless Ocean.
So I wouldn't stop discovering the ocean. I look forward to seeing a whale. That's like my thing is to go out and find a whale because they're so everything's to scale. So I like found a manta ray and it was like 16 feet wide. I was just swimming underneath it and looking at it.
Crikey.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's a stingray. It's a stingray. Stop.
Is it too soon?
It's too soon.
Is it? It's been over a year.
But that was my non-gaming for the week. Well, actually, part of my non-gaming for the week. The other thing I did was I said I would go download the update to Home to see what they changed. And apparently, the only thing they did was evict everybody because there was nobody in Home.
You got an eviction notice.
The only thing I noticed when I got in there was that I had to recreate my character. I mean, there's some new furniture, there's some new like clothing options, and there's...
Is there any new dance moves?
No, there's no new dance moves, which is disappointing. And I had to download everything again. Like, when I went into the theater, I had to download the theater. And they're still showing those same five stupid Lemmings movies that take, like, 12 years to download.
That's terrible, man.
So I go into theater, and it takes longer to watch it than it does in a real theater when I got to sit through 40 minutes of commercials before my friggin' movie comes on.
So they still haven't fixed the streamlining of the movie downloads yet?
No, I still walked around and kept seeing buffering, buffering, buffering. Huh? Like, awesome! When I get to, I went and played bowling for about 10 minutes and I left. Like, this is great. I can't wait for this to come out. I'm using it so much now.
I'm interested to see where the Home integration goes, but
yeah,
I was very disappointed in the Warhawk patch looks pretty good. Some of the stuff that they're adding to it, but the Home integration I was slightly disappointed in. The whole you can meet up in your apartment and talk strategy and then launch a game straight from your apartment. That's the whole point of Home in the first place.
Yeah, you can do
that.
You can
launch
anything
from your apartment.
Unless they're subtly telling us that Home is not going to be as good as what they initially said it was going to be.
I don't know. I just, like, to me, if that's, you know, if it's just about, hey, our avatars can meet up at my apartment and we can launch a game from there, I mean... You can meet up in the lobby system of Grawl or Halo 3 or any of those games that have a lobby system and discuss strategy and then launch the game straight from there. All you're really doing is adding some folks walking around and
I was
crazy
all for
t-shirts.
Home when I first heard of it, but now that I've toyed around with it, I'm like, I really just don't care.
Exactly. And here's my thing, and this will come to a shock to a lot of people, but this comment here, but the fact is, if Home came out when it was originally supposed to last year, it would have made sense because it would give people something to do while they wait for new games to come out for the PlayStation 3. But now, PlayStation 3 has actually got their shit together.
Yeah.
They got a hell of a lineup in 2008.
And they got a great lineup. I mean, I can't believe I'm actually saying this, and I'm happy I own a PS3 again, but the games actually look very promising, and the future looks kind of
bright
for
Sony.
So right now, home is not a necessity as it used to be, right, because people be like, oh, I got 2 months before another game comes out. I'll go walk around home for a little bit and talk to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do think that home is going to be a big hit when it first comes out, and that a lot of people are going to be using a lot of the stuff in it and everything. But I really do think that as it progresses, it's going to be just kind of a go in, launch your game, and go kind of thing. It's not going to be I have a feeling people are going to get tired of it.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, if they integrate a lot of the stuff that they're talking about with, you know, your avatars, get different T-shirts, and you get different stuff for your house depending on, you know, what kind of stuff you do in the game, what accomplishments you complete, that's kind of cool. But
are you really going to care?
I'm not excited about, we can meet up at my apartment and discuss strategy and then launch the game straight from there.
You will use feature one time to check it out and see if it works, and then you will start doing it from the cross-media bar.
Right.
Because you can still do it from there. Because going into home is, it's just, I don't know. I don't see it for that.
And the thing is, I mean, we'll obviously, when it actually finally launches, you know, because, I mean, how many times have we played a demo or a beta of something, and it's just not where it needs to be, but when the final version actually comes out, it's a lot more streamlined, a lot more impressive.
I hope so, because right now, if home is what it is and it's just more people, I'm not going to use it any more than I do now, and I don't use it at all.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with home, because as we all know, GDC starts today.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, because it's Monday when you're listening
right
to this, but it starts today. So, as of right now, Sony has a better lineup in 2008, but will GDC change that?
Right.
We'll find out this week.
Because I bet we're going to have some big announcements from both Nintendo and Microsoft.
But you know what's going to be there?
Killer Instinct 3?
God of War.
Yeah.
For maybe the PS. No, it's there. Little. It's confirmed. It's on Sony's list.
We'll see.
According to your website.
We'll
not
see.
Yours, but that N4G.
We'll see.
It might be a video.
It'll be a video of Kratos, like,
whatever.
Rushing.
As long as it's announced.
Yeah, that'll be all it is.
That's all I need.
We already know it's coming.
Yeah, but still.
You know what
I
want to
see is Killer
Sweet
Instinct
Tooth
announced.
Don't
shut up.
Ain't gonna happen.
Don't you dare.
Don't you ruin this for me, Brian.
I am not ruining it, and I'm as excited for any Killer Instinct fan as there. But ain't gonna happen. Stop getting your hopes up.
Microsoft's announcements tomorrow. Gears of War 2. Woo! Dead or Alive 5. Oh, but you didn't see me pulling that one out of my ass. And Killer Instinct 3.
You think so?
08.
You think so? 08.
Maybe
they
not
said,
DOA.
They said that the Viva Pinata team from Rare is working on something else, and it's not Banjo-Kazooie. It's something that they haven't announced yet. So it's probably either a new Perfect Dark.
I'd go for that.
Or it's a new Killer Instinct.
Cameo 2 would make me happy.
Cameo
too.
2.
Yeah, I mean, not that it wouldn't be great timing for Rare to bring out another Killer Instinct for the fact that
this is the year of the fighter.
This is the year of the fighting game.
Well, fighting games are kind of light right now, so it would actually do some business. But who knows? Maybe in April, I might get an announcement for Mortal Kombat, too.
Mortal Kombat's coming.
Have you guys seen the screenshots for the new 2D fighter called Blaze Blue?
No. Yeah, it's Guilty Gear, guys.
Really?
It's from Guilty Gear, guys. It's coming out for in Japan.
It looks just like Guilty Gear.
Really?
I mean, it looks just like... Well, why didn't you just make Guilty Gear 3?
Right, no doubt. It's coming out for arcade and PS3.
Nice.
So if you can imagine a 2D fighter made basically, essentially, for next-gen hardware.
That's solid.
Dude, the graphical detail, I downloaded.
What's it called?
It's like Blaze Blue. It's got a weird title. They'll probably change it when they release it over here. But, dude, I'm almost half tempted to maybe import it when it comes out in Japan.
Well, we will see, but right now we're going to move on to the news.
Oh, look at that seg.
You like that?
And that was the most epic fondling that we've probably
ever
had.
That was, man. That was an hour and how long? No,
22.
It was an hour and 22 minutes worth of fondling.
And remember that, ladies. You know, the N4G podcast does an hour and a half of fondling before we even get into the action.
Wow. You know the three female listeners that you said we had? Yeah. They're gone now. They're gone.
There's a guy sitting there twiddling his thumbs.
He's like,
that's why I got divorced.
Super.
Okay. All right, so this was, we should mention, this was...
from Are You Joshin'?
Yes, this is from Are You Joshin', and it was voted on, and this was the one that was decided to have won this week. There were some other ones in that thread that I thought were absolutely hilarious. So this one won the victory for the day, so we will go with this one.
And now, News for Gamers Internet Star Radio Program proudly presents News Quickies, brought to you by the PlayStation 3 iToy. Now you can use your balls to make a pretty picture. And now your host for this program, Zero Tolerance.
Oh,
see, that's fantastic.
Part of the problem.
So go into the sponsor by thread. Come up with some more. So I don't
speaking
have to.
Of the PlayStation.
So I can take your ideas and use them for my own.
Speaking of the PlayStation Eye, any confirmation on a PlayStation Eye
support for MLB?
Yes.
I haven't heard. I want to know.
Because they said the creative player is really deep. Sorry, man.
The
users are already. They heard the show again. They turned it on. Hold on.
They're like, "Fuck! Are they talking about
hey, you
that
know
baseball
what? They,
game
they,
again?"
You know, there's actually people who are saying that they don't even like baseball and they played it and they love it. So shut it.
Wow, shut it,
Mister. I haven't tried it yet.
I haven't even downloaded the demo.
You're gay. Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Gonna have to edit that out.
No, that one's okay.
Oh, okay.
That one's okay.
All right.
All right. First up in the news quickies, if you're a Guitar Hero fan and you like Aerosmith, you're in luck. Because Activision is releasing Guitar Hero Aerosmith.
You're my angel.
And if you want a taste of it, if you want a taste of Aerosmith, you can get on the marketplace right now on Xbox Live and download.
And suck on that big 10-inch record.
how many people know suck on the 10-inch record?
A lot of people. Well, thank God this isn't in Rock Band, because I don't want to hear people. Okay. But you can
download the Aerosmith song we played in Rock Band.
Yeah. But we have Dream On is now downloadable, and it's a re-recording of Dream On, which I'm guessing that's going to be the theme for the Aerosmith guitar.
Probably.
Everything re-recorded. Now the question is price.
Yeah.
We debated this earlier. If Activision wants this to work and they want to do the band ones, I say make it downloadable and working Guitar Hero for $30.
Yeah.
Retail disc at $40. Or offer the songs individually, like Rock Band does.
It's not a bad idea. I concur.
You concur? But I think that would be excellent. I mean, don't even make them use, like... Well, I guess you'd have to make them use the Aerosmith, like, graphics and
right.
stuff. But you could make it a full download, just like Tomb Raider Anniversary did. As long as you have Guitar Hero 3. Use the same engine, add some different backdrops and characters. It's a $30 download. Say 30 songs.
Thing is, with Activision not announcing the price right now, makes me think that they're going to release it at fucking $50.
Yeah.
If it comes out at $50, it's useless to anybody that's not an Aerosmith fan.
Right.
And that's the long and the short of it. If you want to wide appeal it like Guitar Hero, then you need to make it cheaper and you need to make it downloadable, because otherwise you're just going to end up with, you know, sales to all the Aerosmith fans, and
right.
that's about it.
That's about it.
But make it like that for PS3 and 360. I don't know what you're going to do. What can you do,
yeah,
PS2?
Release it on disc for Wii.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Next up, new Street Fighter 4 character was announced. Plus, since we've been on the show, there was a lot of more confirmed characters.
Yes, and a lot of good character designs.
Yeah, Guile.
Yes.
Blanca.
Yes, E-Honda.
Yay!
Thick thighs.
Thick thighs.
I'm going to kick some ass with E-Honda.
The new character's name is Abel. I don't know if you've seen the screenshots or videos
yeah.
of him yet. He just looks like a big buff dude.
He reminds me of a clean-cut Akuma.
He reminds me of Cody.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
Street Fighter Alpha 3.
He's
got that
too.
Blocky, like, body
yeah.
look.
I liked Cody in Alpha 3. That was a pretty good character. But we're starting to see a lot more stuff on Street Fighter 4. But here's
yeah.
the thing, Capcom. Show me a different stage.
Yeah, no
please.
Doubt.
Yeah.
Please.
I love Chun-Li's stage and all, but...
but please.
Can we see a new stage? Because all my screenshots in my gallery look all the same.
Yeah.
Because it's the same background.
And what's sad and scary at the same time, especially with the iffy information on it right now, is all this talk about Street Fighter 4, no more talk about Street Fighter HD. Ever since they announced that they don't know if they can get it on 150 meg download, notice how all the news has dissipated.
Well, apparently what it is the developers didn't realize how hard the work was to redraw everything in HD. So we're looking at like summer, maybe fall for Street Fighter HD.
If at all.
Oh, it's still coming. There's no way. It's coming. Yeah, first you try to kill my Killer Instinct, and now you're trying to kill my Street Fighter HD.
Games never get canceled. You're right.
No, this one.
Not this one. Not this one.
This is coming.
But they got Street Fighter 4 to lean on now.
If they have to, they'll petition Microsoft to increase the download limit, just like they did for Symphony of the Night, and they'll get it on there.
Yeah. You can get it up to, what is it, 150 megs?
It's ridiculous anyway.
It's 150 megs now. Right. You could bump it up to 250 with
That's
the 256.
That's what they did for Symphony of the Night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see an issue with that. Next up, a couple EA announcements. Some sequels confirmed.
Wait, what? EA sequels?
Yes.
You're kidding.
Skate 2? Because apparently it outsold Tony Hawk.
Yeah, big shock.
Yeah. Maybe because Tony Hawk's on like its 11th iteration. Right. Probably a deciding factor.
I think if you didn't think there was a Skate 2 coming, you're probably crazy.
Even though I'm still under the impression that Skate 2 is not as fun as Tony Hawk, and I really don't like Skate. I'm sorry, I just don't. It's not fun. That's just me. Apparently not everybody agrees with me.
Apparently not too many people agree with you.
Also, Burnout Next. If I can throw my suggestion in now, get rid of this open world bullshit.
Yeah.
And bring back some crashes. Because the game is frustrating to me.
I can't believe they're already announcing a sequel to Burnout.
It's
not
just
like we didn't know
Next.
There was another one coming. But
it's just called Next.
Yeah. And then when you put it in and start playing it, that's what you're going to be like. You're going to be like, Next!
Wow.
Oh, zing, bada bing.
And then, of course...
Game is calm with the good joke.
Of course, the obvious announcement of Mass Effect 2 and 3.
Right.
No system announced, though.
No system announced.
Ooh.
It's got to at least come to 360, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a little PS3 version.
I would not be surprised.
And also, maybe a copy of the first one released for the PS3?
It's possible.
Once this one comes out? They got that novel going on? Oh, the novel! Oh, my God!
As long as they don't release it for the Wii.
And some new Lord of the Rings games. Dude, you don't want Mass Effect Waggle?
No, but I imagine that you probably will see a handheld spinoff
like
now that it's
Assassin's
under EA's
Creed.
Control. Yeah,
Assassin's Creed
terrible.
For the DS.
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I heard it's terrible.
Altair's, whatever. Crappy game.
Altair's
Nightmare.
That's a good one.
All right, next up, Me Am Cry... Because EA locked up the NFL license again until 2012.
Yep.
Which means only Madden for the next 5 years.
Man, that sucks.
And if you don't think they'll lock it up again in 2012, you haven't been following Electronic Arts for a long
Welcome
time.
Welcome to Monopoly. I'll be taking all of your money.
But is it like cold-sipped Monopoly with monsters?
If it was, I would sick my monsters on the NFL.
It's Monopoly right with nothing but Madden.
To continue to agree to this BS to me, I'm sorry, but one game is not enough. That's what made sports games good, was the variety.
Hey, you know what that means, though? Not just Madden. You get another great NFL Tour game.
Oh, I look so forward to NFL Tour. Crap.
Hey, everybody, I want you to play this new game. It's kind of like Monopoly, but every square is Madden.
And when you land on it, it's like, I don't know, Brett Favre!
Boom!
Boom! All right, DLC sneaking out. Project Gotham 4 got some DLC, which nobody expected.
That's great for the six people that bought Project Gotham 4.
There's two of them in this room, motherfucker.
Right. And I actually just played it the other day.
That's right, so. Project Gotham.
What
it's
is it?
Awesome.
I didn't even see it.
It's a new pack. It's got 10 new achievements. It's got like a set of new cars and the ability to free roam through the whole cities.
How much?
400 points. So $5.
Consider me doing something when I get home tonight.
But also, you can download a free version of it that gives you the free roam, one car, and the achievements. So
what do you get for the 400 points?
You get a bunch of cars. A bunch of extra cars. There's like a list of them on there, I think. So, pretty solid DLC, which nobody expected, considering Bizarre Creations doesn't work for Microsoft anymore.
Right.
So, nice to see support coming from somewhere. Yeah. Also, a game everybody forgot about, but nobody should have, Overlord.
Yeah.
Gets a massive DLC upgrade with a free split-screen pack, so you can now play it split-screen. A new, was it Raises Hell or something like that? Not the old
PlayStation game Raises
Hell. Not the old Xbox PS2. Yeah.
Oh, that's what
the teddy bear killing.
The teddy bear killing game. Yeah, not that, but it's a new single player and multiplayer. I believe the single player is like 800 points, and the or the multiplier 400 points, something like that. But it's a healthy amount of DLC for Overlord. So if you still own it, which if you don't, you should go out and buy it because it was a phenomenal game. But it's got some DLC.
I thought you killed bunnies in Raising or Raises Hell.
Maybe it was bunny. It was whatever the hell those cute things were. But yeah. No. You didn't kill them. They killed you.
Right.
That was the twist of the game. You were the ugly alien that was trying not to get killed.
Right.
And when you shot them, they exploded into giblets. Right. That game was so fun.
So you did kill them. See.
Yeah, you killed them.
That's what I said.
But they were trying to kill you.
Right.
Never mind.
It's a big misunderstanding.
This is, I think,
a decent game, though.
I think I'm the only person that got excited about this, but Activision announced a new Xbox Live Arcade game, and some people may remember it. It was called Vigilante 8.
Yes. I remember that.
Yes. And they made a Star Wars spinoff for the original PlayStation.
Yeah.
Anybody remember that?
Second offense, too.
Yep. But Vigilante 8 is coming to Xbox Live Arcade with upgraded visuals and 8-player online multiplayer.
So in other words, Xbox owners now get Twisted Metal.
Right.
We get Vigilante.
Right.
Well,
man, it's the same thing.
You knew you weren't going to get Twisted Metal anyway.
It's I wonder if they're going to have the Mighty Mighty Boston song on there again. Remember that? It's like on the promo CD. It's like featuring the Mighty Mighty Boston. It was one song.
Yeah. What is the PlayStation? Like, PlayStation Store needs to give me Critical Depth and Rogue Trip.
Well, it's like
who remembers those?
Rogue Trip was the bomb.
Rogue Trip was the spiritual successor to Twisted Metal. That game was awesome.
But it's kind of like Crazy Taxi featuring the Offspring.
All right. There was a report that went out that the Xbox 360 failure rate was 16%,
which is about 16% higher than it should be.
So 16 out of every 100 consoles are going to break.
Actually, I think that the 360 is as fundamentally flawed as a piece of hardware. I think the failure rate, the 16%, is probably the failure rate of out of the box. Because it's almost like every single system. Dude, my coworker hit his red ringed again, like in the past week. So in the past like year and a half that he's had the 360, he's had, I think this is like his third red ring that he's received.
Not to self hug my system again.
No doubt. So, I've had one ring.
I have no
one red ring.
I've never had an issue with my 360. I have the only 360 in the world that works.
I've had probably one red ring of death to rule them all.
You know, the more I hear about people's system red rings, the more that it irritates me that I have to buy a 360 game anymore. Dude, I wanted to buy Lost Odyssey for PS3.
Well, wow. You can't.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, when I was buying it, I was almost like, man.
But my question to you is this, and I understand the hatred towards the Red Ring and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But did you get this pissed off when the PS2 had these issues?
Well, thing is...
See?
I did.
I still have
my original. I wouldn't sell them at work. They're so bad. I was like, you don't want these? I'm on my seventh system, damn it.
Thing is, I still have my original PS2.
You're one of the five.
I used to fix PS2s, actually, and so, holy crap. So, a buddy of mine owned an independent game store, and I used to fix PS2s for him, and he had a whole side room of dead PlayStation 2s.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anybody getting upset about this.
No, absolutely not.
There's nothing
it's
wrong
ridiculous.
With that. But it just amazes me that it's so bad now, but it wasn't bad then. It continues to fuel the idea that Microsoft can do no good.
Right.
Because they released Blue Dragon and Lost Odyssey. Okay, this is just an example. A Dragon Quest and a Final Fantasy wannabe, both very good wannabes.
Yeah.
But still, they get no respect for it. They release some of the best games on the system. They do all this stuff to get all these games on the system, but it's not enough. People will still sit here and complain that they're not a good game maker. They're not a good console. You know, the system gets a 16% failure rate.
The thing is, though, that's the paradox of my argument, is that I know that 360 has the best software lineup.
Just like the PS2 did.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, there's no
doubt
about that.
And that's the thing, and I agree with Zero on this, for the fact that, you know, going back to the Sony days, when people's, like, systems would break down, they would come out and they would buy another system.
Right.
They're like, oh, this sucks. I need another PlayStation.
Right.
Instead of going, well, I got mine red ringing. You know, what can I get for it? I don't want to deal with Microsoft anymore.
Right. I see a lot of
more people are giving up on Microsoft because of the Red Ring versus you know, taking it as it is.
Right. I see a lot of people online, though, that say, yeah, I'm on my third or fourth system, and I see people say, I don't know why you even still mess with the Xbox anymore. But it's the same reason that, like you said, everybody bought a PlayStation 2, because the games are just phenomenal.
But it should be always about the games, never about the hardware, which is what when the PlayStation 2 was around. That's what it was about, was the games.
Yeah, but even when the PlayStation 2 was around, it should have been about the hardware, because there's no excuse for...
No, there's no excuse for any of them breaking, but I'm talking in the gamers' minds, it was about the games.
Right.
And now it's about the hardware. If the hardware doesn't work, I don't want to play the games.
Right.
And it's not like Microsoft's not, you know, taking care of you either. It's not like they're, you know, unlike Sony.
They've done a lot more for their community
Sony,
with
like,
this.
We mean it doesn't read blue disc. It always read blue disc.
It always read. There's nothing wrong with it. And they still to this day won't admit that there's anything wrong with either of their first two systems. And their first two systems were terrible.
Yeah.
It took them two tries to get it right.
Yeah, that's my big criticism of Sony during the PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2. Not only did all their shit break, but they never owned up to the fact that all their stuff was breaking constantly.
No, they didn't. And that's what disturbs me the most.
Flip your PlayStation 1 upside down.
I think you should be angered, pissed off, and upset with Microsoft about this, but I don't think that you should give them any different treatment than you would have given Sony. That's my beef. If you're going to be like, okay, I had to buy 5 PlayStation 2s, but damn, I had Final Fantasy, Grand Theft Auto, you know, God of War, Metal Gear, I was like, yeah. But Xbox breaks down once, like, well, I don't want to play Halo, Mass Effect, you know, Lost Odyssey, Fable. I don't want to play this shit.
Right.
You know, screw that. Yes, you do. You just don't want to give them the benefit of the doubt, because Bill Gates is apparently the devil. And we all know that. I mean, that's all he wants is money. Like, nobody else wants money, just him.
Nobody wants to live the American dream.
No, nobody wants to be rich.
Yeah. Nobody wants to build their company from nothing and end up being the richest man alive. Nobody wants that. No. People are content with mediocrity.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. That was sarcasm.
But
next.
So your argument is not that people should not be upset about the Red Ring. It's just people should be upset with everybody about hardware failure.
Everybody should be upset about it. And I got into an argument with somebody, I don't know if you saw this in the forums, about Activision. About the patch with Guitar Hero and all that. I'm like, well, shouldn't you be as equally upset with EA because they made shitty instruments?
Yeah, that's what I actually posted a comment after yours. I can completely understand being upset with Activision about blocking the Guitar Hero patch, because all it is pettiness at
it
best.
Is.
But the fact of the matter is if you want to use your Guitar Hero guitar, it is not Activision's responsibility. They should be doing it, but it's not their responsibility
to make
sure that you can play their competitor's game.
No.
And you know what? If EA and Harmonix would have made sure that the Rock Band guitar was good enough, you wouldn't want to use your Guitar Hero guitar. So you should be mad at both if you're mad at Activision. You should be mad at EA and Harmonix as well.
Yeah. If it hadn't broke, you know. That's another thing. Have you seen anybody with a Rock Band guitar that hasn't broke? Minus the one you have.
Right.
Like, almost everybody
I've two I have.
I mean, almost
everybody. He's got a big test, fair.
Yeah. But you don't even use them. That's why.
No, I use the Guitar Hero.
That's what I'm saying.
And I never used them.
I didn't either. That's the thing. I have my Guitar Hero 2 guitar on the thing.
Right. Not on eBay. 2 Rock Band guitars. Barely used.
Yeah, it really is. Like, if you're upset about the fact that Activision is blocking the Guitar Hero 3 patch for the PlayStation 3, I completely understand, because it sucks, and they shouldn't be blocking the patch. But it's not their responsibility to make sure you can play EA's game.
No.
It's EA's responsibility to make sure that the hardware that they give you in the box is good enough that you won't need to use their competitor's hardware to play their game.
I guess it just upsets me that people are more interested in missing out on games to prove a point nowadays than they are just sucking it up, being pissed off about it, and just playing them.
Well, what also makes me laugh is, you know, it's the same mindset with EA. Besides you, when they announced, you know, football license locked up to 2012. Is that going to keep people from buying Madden?
No, it's not going to keep people from buying Madden. It's probably not going to keep me from buying Madden, but it's still going to piss me off.
Right.
I'm still not going to miss out on playing a football season
every
year.
But, you know, it's just like the whole Microsoft people. But, you know, it's like, you didn't hear that announcement go, you know, I ain't buying football this year.
A lot of people do say that, though, and then I'm like, you're so full of shit because I know you bought it.
We're gonna get a lot of shit for people saying, well, yeah, but if you just shut your mouth and don't say anything about it, then they never have any incentive to fix it. But you know what? You can bitch about it all you want to. It's not going to change.
No, it's never going to change.
Because, number one, they have enough money that they can do what they want to do. And number two, that there's enough people who will buy the game anyway that if 2,000 people sign a petition that says, I'm not buying Madden this year because, you know, you guys locked up the NFL license, guess what? That's not going to stop the other 3 million people that are going to buy it, and they're going to do it anyway. No. And all you're hurting is yourself because you're not going to get to play the games.
Exactly. And that's my point, is the only person you're hurting is yourself by sitting here complaining about it. You're wasting time you could be playing games by bitching on the internet. And the last
video games.
The last little piece of news, yeah, every company wants money. Oh, right. Newsflash, spoiler alert.
Right.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
In more sad news, the Marvel MMO has been officially canned.
Has been officially canned.
It is
gone.
Makes
me sad.
It is gone. No more.
It's gone, daddy, gone.
Love is gone. Now we're going to run down the quick NPD numbers, which were a little surprising.
Yes, very surprising.
A little surprising this month. With the Wii once again topping out 274,000, number one on the list, which is a drop for them.
Yeah, it's a very big drop.
Well, they haven't got enough systems out.
But, surprisingly, in second place was the PlayStation 3 at 269,000.
Second place in North America, PlayStation 3.
That's right. And you know why?
Big resurgence.
It's a big resurgence because they announced that they canceled the SKU, so people were trying to get the last PlayStation 3 that actually played PlayStation 2 games.
It sounds just like the internet guy.
Yeah,
what's
he does.
Going on?
I'm dead serious. I mean, come on, remember where I work, and it's like, how many phone calls did I get? You got any 80 gigs left? No, we got some 40 gigs. Well, I don't want that one. I want the 80 gigs. I'm going to search high and low until I find one left. People will not buy the 40 gig because for some reason they want to hold on to 10-year nostalgia and play PlayStation 2 games. But, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm
happy that
order of backwards compatibility. So
yeah, I don't want to debate the backwards compatibility thing anymore. But
it's not going to keep me from buying a PS3, though.
No,
it is what it is. I hate to use that old catchphrase, but
I'm happy that PS3 is selling.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's finally hit its stride in North America. So
and at number three is the PS2 still going strong at 264,000.
Yeah. Man.
The Nintendo DS drops all the way to fourth place, which is surprising.
They were out.
251,000.
They were out of systems.
Well, that's Microsoft's spin, too.
Right. They were out, yeah. But we were out DSs and 360s for almost a month.
Well, the 360 one, I think, is because we have another new SKU or price drop coming.
Right.
So
they're purposely withholding systems because of the changeover.
Yeah, and bringing up the rear is the PSP and the 360 at 230. So sad month for the PSP and the 360,
yeah.
But phenomenal month for the PS3.
Almost
PSP, I'll tell you what, PSP better start at this GDC, better announce some freaking titles.
They probably will.
Their title list right now is pretty bare.
With the exception of...
Good thing for the PSP, though. I mean, the titles that are announced are quality. It's not like you got My Horse and Me and crap like that on there. But you got... but still, the list is pretty bad. And if I owned a $169 handheld plus, depending on which version you bought, I'd be pretty mad at the list of upcoming games that are coming out.
I don't know. I'm really looking forward to Final Fantasy Crisis Core.
There you go.
And the thing is, from what I hear, that game is like up there with
Judge of Cerberus.
No, Chains of Olympus.
Well, what I think Brian is saying is that the games that they have announced, it's kind of like the Wii. The games that they have announced are very, very good, but they just don't have enough announced.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I agree.
Then we're going to do the top 10 software games. Call of Duty comes out on top again.
Of course.
For the 360 at 330,000. Wii Play still at number 2 at 298,000. Guitar Hero 3 for the Wii at number 3 for 239,000. Rock Band Special Edition Bundle for the 360 at number 4 at 183,000.
That's so impressive considering the price of that.
Yeah, Guitar Hero for the 360 comes in behind it at 182, so Rock Band outsells Guitar Hero for 1 month.
Guitar Hero on the 360.
For 360.
Right.
Super Mario Galaxy at 172,000 at number 6. Burnout Paradise at number 7 with 144,000 for the 360. Call of Duty 4 for the PS3 at number 8 with 140,000, and two DS titles bring up the rear. Mario Party at number 9 at 138,000, and Mario and Sonic the Olympic Games at 133,000 at number 10.
You know, I'm very, very glad to see, like we said earlier, the PlayStation 3 starting to really sell some systems in North America, but it still disappoints me that every time we get the NPD numbers, there's never any exclusive PlayStation 3 titles on the list.
Yep.
And, I mean, you can argue install base, which is true, but the fact of the matter is, if Call of Duty 4 can sell 140,000 copies,
Uncharted
then
should sell 200,000.
Yeah, Uncharted should sell at least that. Which it's disappointing to me that a lot of the big first party, or not first party, a lot of the big exclusives on the PlayStation 3 haven't really cracked the lists. Like Ratchet, of course, Uncharted, Unreal, especially is disappointing.
Unreal hasn't showed up on any lists. Some other numbers just thrown out there. Carnival Games sold 80,000. No More Heroes sold 65,000. Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles sold 30,000.
Yeah, that game sucks.
Advance Wars sold 80,000. Uncharted sold 55,000 for the PS3.
That's at.
Which lifetime to date, Uncharted in the U.S. has only sold 380,000 units in the U.S.
That's depressing.
That's very depressing. I mean, Call of Duty 4 is phenomenal. I'm not trying to take away anything, but the fact that Call of Duty 4 on the PS3 has sold 1.1 million copies and Uncharted has only sold 380 disappoints me to no end.
I mean, we're putting out a challenge to everybody who has a PS3 on this podcast.
To go buy Uncharted.
Well, what's even sadder is that 6 months after its release, Metroid Prime 3 Corruption in America has not even broke a million copies.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad.
A million copies. It's 625,000.
Especially with the install base of the Wii.
Especially with Carnival Games outselling it.
Yeah.
Carnival Games outsold Metroid Prime 3.
It's only $10 less.
Yeah.
But there you go. What are you going to do?
That's the Wii audience for you.
But now we're going to go
party
into...
Party games.
All right.
Our epic ask a question thread.
Yeah, we need to go back to the big one that we skipped.
As if this episode isn't epic enough.
No doubt. It's going to be a really long ask a question thread, so... If we get three or four questions deep and you're like, I haven't heard my question yet, just stay tuned because it's probably going to take us another 6 hours to get through.
Does anybody remember who the big question was from?
But we love answering your guys' questions, so we will definitely pound through them.
I'm trying to flip through.
There it was right there, wasn't it?
Yep.
Is that it?
No. That's
too old.
That's way old. I'm like, what? Jade Raymond? No.
This episode of News for Gamers Podcast Radio brought to you by Preparedness.
Yeah, I had the thread up. It's not my fault. This is still in December.
What do you guys think of Indiana Jones trailer?
Wow, we're segging into movie conversation.
Yeah.
I have not seen it yet, but from what I understand, it's incredibly good.
Dude, I got goosebumps when I watched it.
Definitely want to check it out. I'm sure I can find it online.
Blast from the past.
Oh, yeah, it's online. There's no doubt about that. You get tired?
Actually, well,
there it is.
That is huge.
This comes from Vice Rocks. He wants to say, hi, guys. Well, I've been looking at this weekly roundup of news popping up from here and there about PC gaming being dead. All I just want to say is with articles, any links to an article... Are PS3 and 360 killing off PC gaming? And news and developers about games being pirated going around. It's not that PC is dead. It's just that it's they're not being honest about their own mistakes. Fact is, the piracy business has been going on for all platforms ever since the dawn of gaming, even the consoles. So what's different about PC games being pirated? Nothing. He condemns piracy for games of all platforms, not just the PC. The thing is that over the years I've been looking at game developers who've been making games that are system hogs. The same games run fantastically well for the consoles. Why is that? Poor porting and base for the PC. Let's take a look at three titles, Call of Duty 4, Crysis, and UT3. And then he goes into some reasons why those were better on the consoles. I won't go into too much detail.
You can find his entire post in the Ask a Question thread.
I'm trying to find the actual question here. I'm digging down through it.
Let's see. Hold on. Hold on. I think his...
It's really more like a statement that PC gaming is not necessarily dead. It's just changed because of the piracy and that...
And I think his question is, why would anybody buy a game that was available on console on PC, I think is his question.
Well, for PC, that's an easy answer because it's for modifications and free online play, downloadables.
Mouse and keyboard support on
mouse and keyboard support's a big thing. StarCraft 2, Spore, and Rage, he talks about three games that are only on PC.
Oh, here we go. People will not download a game if it's worth the money. So you're basically saying that people won't pirate something if you give them a game that's worth the money that you're charging for it with decent system specs to run it. And that's maybe true, but probably not entirely true, because people still pirate console games, even though there's, you know, no system specs to worry about there. We, as mentioned many, 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 many times on this podcast, we are all very anti-pirate. So...
And while a PC game may not be dead, you know what is dead? HD DVD officially.
Officially dead.
That's something we totally missed on the news.
Thank God.
Well, we talked about that in the last episode a little bit, that it was pretty much over. And I, you know, I'm so tired of talking about HD DVD and Blu-ray. It's just
I'm just glad that it's over now, and maybe the frickin' HD or the Blu-ray discs can come down a tad bit in price. And
they come all the way down when they announce digital downloading.
And maybe we can shut up about digital downloading.
Digital download,
and we can move on past the format war crap. Start talking about games.
Yeah. Let's talk about games. All right. Next up, we have XDM18X says, now that you guys are talking about contests, what do you think about holding a contest where the prize would be a guest speaker on the podcast through call-in? I would love to do this, but we don't have the technology right now.
Yeah, the logistics would be very difficult.
We could do it through Skype, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
is one thing.
The podcast is live to tape, but it's not live. So we would have to coordinate the...
yeah, you could tell we were live there scrambling for that.
Right. So we would have to coordinate the call-in. It's probably something in the future we could consider, I imagine, but it would be quite difficult.
Alright,
we have to spend some time on that one.
DM18X also wants to know when we're going to set up the official N4G Warhawk match.
You know what? He actually, and I apologize, because he sent me a message the other day. I was downloading the MLB demo, and I just left my system on so it could download and left the house. And I forgot to set my profile thing to away, so he sent me a message asking me to play Warhawk. But I was not there to receive your message.
You're a boy.
So, I was bowling. So, I don't know. We really need to get to work on setting up the M4G Warhawk session.
Professor Chaos has got a PS3.
Yes.
He's wanting to play some Warhawk, too. So, there's another cast member for you guys.
You got Warhawk, don't you?
I got Warhawk.
I think everybody here has Warhawk. Do you have Warhawk?
I'll have to get it again, but I'll get it if people say. Well, the thing is, I got it, and then me and Ken never played it. And so I'm like, I don't want to hold on to it, but I'll get it again if everybody starts getting matches going. So
yeah, so
it's expensive.
Until we get it officially set up, just keep looking for all of us online. We're going to try and play it some more now that several of the cast,
especially now that they've integrated home. Sorry,
come on,
that's terrible. I read through the next question. It's not really a question. He's just talking about Burnout Paradise, and he feels the same way that we do. Mm-hmm. Next question comes from HouseGroove76. He says, you guys have the best podcast. I'm always laughing my ass off.
Make sure you tape it on next time.
He wants to know, of all the people playing UT3, what are your personal favorite user-created maps? And I haven't used one yet.
I haven't used any of the user-created maps yet, to be completely honest.
I would love to get on and do so. Maybe we should do that this week. Maybe that would be our assignment for this week, is to go out and play some user-created maps and see which ones we think are
the
best.
Sounds like a good
plan. Also, what are the thoughts on Blizzard's MMO due to replace WoW? Could it truly be World of StarCraft?
It could be, but due to replace is probably the wrong word.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to replace
WoW. They're not going to replace, a game that's making them, freaking millions and millions of dollars.
And if it was World of StarCraft, I may actually start playing an MMO, because I love StarCraft so much.
You better watch
it,
man.
But I would not go to the extent that he said in his post, which was...
Explicit deleted.
Yeah, if you're at work, you might want to turn your volume
down.
But
he said, if it was World of StarCraft, I would sell my cock and balls on the black market, move to Thailand, and be a tranny bar girl. No, not really, but I want it to happen that much.
You
I don't want it to happen
Wizard
that much.
And tell them that.
You should, because then they may do it.
A game so good, the guy sold his cock and balls.
That'll be on the back of the box. A game so good, you'll sell your cock and balls in the black market.
Yeah, I'm sure that's on the box. Anyway, next one comes from Nade Magnet.
Nade Magnet.
Says, hey guys, love the site and love the show.
Thank you very much.
I have a question about length of games this generation. We always know you had a problem with length, Jason, so maybe you should answer this.
Snap.
Problem with length?
Do you find them short in length? Do you find games today short in length?
You know, we were doing decent on the Safe for Work thing until we came into the Ask a Question thread.
He says, I find that games are multi-platform to be shorter in duration compared to previous generation. Do you think this is because developers are catering to the lowest common denominator, an Xbox 360 arcade with no HD DVD and DVD 9 as quick stab at the Microsoft Xbox 360. Yeah. Heard that Blu-ray wasn't necessary for games this generation. This was a criticism when the specs of the PS3 were announced. However, two exclusive games that I've played seem quite long in length, those being Resistance and Ratchet & Clank, both from Insomniac. Well, to be honest with you, Resistance isn't any longer than any other first-person shooter. Honestly, it's about 12 to 15 hours, which is... It's just
Half-Life 2.
Half-Life 2 is that long. Yeah. And honestly, Blu-ray for Resistance was not required. You know what the Blu-ray space was used for? The languages on the disc.
Right. And a lot of... if you look at a game like Uncharted, which was 10 to 12 hours on Blu-ray, a lot of the Blu-ray disc was used for redundancy to copy game data several times on the disc so that the load times would be faster and non-existent, basically, in Uncharted, because there were several places on the disc where you could get the same data because of the read speed of Blu-ray. And that's, you know, you look at a game like Heavenly Sword.
It's about and, 4 hours long.
It's, you know, 6 hours, maybe eight at best.
If you're retarded.
And it's on Blu-ray. So I don't think, at this point, I don't think it's a factor of catering to the lowest common denominator.
Well, I think a lot of this stems from the fact that they think because a game like Lost Odyssey,
which is
40 hours, comes on four discs. It's not. It's because of the video and the audio,
right?
Which is what Blu-ray is used for. Which is the only reason why games like Resistance need a Blu-ray. Which games like Ratchet and Clank's probably about 20 hours if you do just a general run through of the game. Probably 30 if you do everything. And you can get that amount of game on one disc. Easily, as long as you don't have multiple languages and giant long 40-minute videos and stuff like that.
That's and I mean, you look at a game like, you know, they say that if you have one piece of proof, any argument's proved wrong. But you look at a game like Oblivion on the 360, and it's got more length than any game other than Oblivion on the PlayStation 3, and it's on DVD-9, and it doesn't use the hard drive at all. It uses caching on the hard drive, but not there's no installation or anything. So it's Blu-ray is not really a factor in length at this point. It's more of a factor in audio processing.
Presentation.
Right, and texture texture processing.
And as far as like, will games are games shorter in length right now? Not really. There are some games like Heavenly Sword that are probably too short for their own good, but most games are between 10 and 15 hours, and for the working class out there, that's just enough time, because a lot of people don't have 80 hours to spend in their lifetime to play a video game before they lose track of what they're doing because they work for a living.
Yeah, and I remember back in the day, you know, NES, you know, Contra, you could beat that in like a half hour. And then you got all the coin up games that came out at full price, like $50, like Final Fight, and games like that that you could beat like in an hour.
Oh yeah, you can still beat the current games like Metal Slug in an hour or two.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, those games are made to be played through, you know, multiple times. You know, I think that might be a part of the thing is like most people nowadays when they beat a game, it's like okay, I beat it, and you just drop it. Well, you know. Back in the day, beating a game wasn't enough. You wanted to play the game and know it so well that you could play it perfectly.
Right.
Well, here's another big thing is he mentions that Resistance is 17 gigs on a Blu-ray. It has awesome single player, a co-op, and a decent online multiplayer. Well, here's a couple facts for you. Ninja Gaiden Black is about 50 hours of gameplay, and it's 3.9 gigs.
Right.
Here's another fact. Halo 3 is about, I don't know how many gigs, but it fits on a DVD 9. It has a solid single player, a four-player co-op mode, and an excellent online play, and a map editor, and a video editor, and, you know, online integration. So it's not a matter of space, always.
Even though it seems like one of the benefits to more storage space would be increased game length, it's actually not really used for that.
Or barely used at all. Yeah, look at the case of EA, where the games run at half the resolution or half the frame rate as they do on a 360.
Right.
And where's the benefit of Blu-ray in that case in point? You're just paying more for the Blu-ray disc.
Blu-ray at this point, I will say that I'm glad that there is a Blu-ray drive included in the PlayStation 3 in case
it becomes
games
standard.
In case games require it in the future. At current, the only thing that the extra space on Blu-ray is really being used for is high-definition audio, or, like I said, data redundancy so that the load times can be reduced because of the read speed of Blu-ray.
So you're trying to say that beach ball couldn't be done in 2K8 on the...
on the Xbox 360.
That's Blu-ray,
the power,
Blu-ray.
That's the power of the cell.
We got a beach ball in our crowd. Thanks to Blu-ray. All
right, the next question comes from Dr. Pirate, and he says, I have the biggest question of all. What's your opinion of future acquiring N4G.com, and what does that mean for its staff, contributors, and its members?
We haven't done a show since that was made official, have
no,
we?
No, we have not done a show since we were officially acquired by Future Publishing. And you know what? I don't think that we were actually acquired.
Yeah,
I think it's a misconception.
Right,
is we're actually affiliated with Future now, so there will be cross-promotion between the two.
It was more of an investment than an acquirement.
Yeah, it's N4G is now going to be advertised in all of Future's magazines and their websites. And if you were around on the site, you saw that some of the OXM guys actually dropped down and said hello to us all. And we'd like to say hello to them because I'm sure some of them listen to us.
Yeah. None of them listen to
hello.
Us.
None of them listen. They might.
So you're saying we've got 8 listeners now.
We got 8, yeah. Well, how big's the staff of like OXM and PSM,
Probably
that's about
probably,
16
probably
people.
Probably a lot bigger than the 4 of us.
Well, what are you going to do? The answer to your question is nothing's going to change.
No,
the only thing that's going to change is that we're going to see a lot more exposure.
Yep, there's going to be a lot more cool giveaways, and you'll probably see a lot of cool site functionality.
Yeah, there'll be a lot more.
So.
There'll be a lot more. A lot more of everything.
And you've already seen the start of that with the changeover of the website to include the review scores and stuff like that. There's going to be a lot of cool additions to both the website and the podcast.
It's nothing but a good thing.
Yeah, yes. Overall, it's going to increase the size of the N4G community.
It doesn't change us in any respect. We're still not safe for work.
We are still not safe for work.
It will not go to our heads.
He says, will he still get love?
Although if you try to listen to the podcast and... in 2 weeks, and we've all been replaced by more handsome, better
spoken.
Yeah,
I found it shallow and pedantic.
And yes, you will all still get love as long as we are doing a podcast.
All right. Next up comes from Silfo. Says, hey guys, loving the show. Question is, what's your view on console piracy?
Boo.
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 360's been cracked for a while, and many people can download, burn, and play games before the release.
Boo.
Do you think this is hurting the 360?
No.
A little bit. Not.
I don't think it's hurting it to a great extent yet, because I don't think cracking is as widespread as it
could be. It's not like the Dreamcast.
Right.
I think you're hurting yourself.
Yeah, is it perhaps harming the PS3 because people cannot exploit it? No.
No.
No. The PS3's problem is lack of software and price tag, but that's fixing itself, so... is it persuading pirates to buy a 360?
Probably,
but not enough to make a big difference.
Right.
Persuading pirates to buy 2 360s, yes, because they want one offline and online.
Yes.
Obviously not encouraging console piracy. It hurts console makers, publishers, developers, and retailers, but it's a major problem. I think it'd make for a good conversation.
Yeah, in a way... you asked, do you think it's hurting the 360? Do you think it's hurting the PS3? Directly, it's not, but indirectly, it is, because any kind of piracy hurts the industry as a whole. So it's bad. Don't do it. Nobody.
Say no to pirates.
Say no to pirates.
Pirates are bad.
Okay, pirates are bad.
Pick ninja instead of pirate.
But ninjas are better than pirates.
They are.
All right, next up, he says, arigato, encore for the podcast.
Arigato!
He has 3 questions for the crew, regulars, and special members. Ooh, special.
Hello.
Nice.
2 of these are general ones, more specific. Number 1, please describe some of your fondest and or most striking memories of the 80s.
Oh,
the
80s.
It includes music, fashion, video games, and politics.
Oh, God.
Did you even care about politics in the 80s? We were what, like...
I was nine when the 80s
Yeah,
ended.
The only thing I remember was Ronald Reagan and him talking about Star Wars, and I was like, hey, I like Star Wars too, I saw that movie.
Reagan smash. politics I probably can't talk a whole lot about. I wasn't quite old enough to talk politics, but as far as video games go, the 80s was the golden years, man. There was so much
golden
good stuff.
Year.
Of course, it didn't happen until like 85, 86 when we discovered the NES.
Right.
So video gaming really took a whole new twist.
Well,
I was a teenager in the 80s.
You old bastard.
Yes. My favorite video game memories from the 80s are definitely related to the NES. Some for the Atari, but mostly for the NES. One of my favorites is, I think I mentioned on the podcast before, when I bought Metal Gear on the NES and thought it was broken because I didn't start out with any weapons. So, I was like 5 at the time.
That and Jackal were terrible because you have no weapons.
Right.
Jackal just sucked anyway.
Jackal
was like a poor man's commando.
Yeah, it was terrible.
POW was good. Remember POW?
Oh, yeah.
The arcade?
Yeah.
That was for the NES.
Yeah, but the arcade was where it was at then. But
I remember I remember waking up at 8 o'clock in the morning in 1980 waiting for the launch of MTV.
I cannot even remember 1980. I was one.
I was not alive in 1980.
I was one.
Yeah.
I was born in 1981. So.
You get this.
My brother was at school, and they were watching the start of MTV at school.
That's crazy.
Wow.
I remember the space shuttle blew up. Well, I was sick that day watching The Price is Right, and they interrupted for the space shuttle.
The Price is Right is
medicinal. You know something? I think the shuttle blew up when I took a sick day off from work. I mean, from school as
from
well.
Work?
You say from work?
You were working when you were like 6.
Your family didn't put too much stock in child labor.
You grew up in China?
I used to break dance in the basement of my house. I had the parachute pants. I had the cardboard.
Yes.
Had the cardboard on it.
You used to break dance in the. That's a YouTube moment. That is a YouTube moment.
This might be. I think it was. Yeah, it's the 80s.
Yeah.
I remember. You remember Milli Vanilli? Obviously, everybody.
Oh yeah.
Milli Vanilli.
Yeah.
The
Bob
day,
Bob.
Like the day or the maybe 2 days before it came out that they were lip syncing.
Yep.
My my cousin and I had the Milli Vanilli tape. And we got so tired of it that we just destroyed the tape. Like, we ripped it out and everything. And then 2 days later, they announced that they were all faking the whole thing.
That's awesome.
Oh, I remember my first cassette tape I bought in the 1980s was Poison. Look What the Cat Dragged In.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's solid.
That's my first cassette tape.
I remember listening to Thriller a lot.
Yes.
Dude, speaking of Thriller.
Michael Jackson's Off the Wall. I had that, too.
Michael Jackson, that red vest jacket.
Yes.
And the one glove, man.
Dude, that was badass.
Yeah. I remember seeing Twisted Sister and Rat with my 5th grade teacher. He like took our whole class as a field. It was like School of Rock. He took our whole class on a field trip for music education, quote unquote, and took us to see Rat and Twisted Sister.
What did you learn from Twisted Sister?
I want to rock.
Did your teacher put his hand on your shoulder and tell you to come on, feel the noise?
That's Quiet Riot.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, unfortunately, they were actually supposed to be there that night, but they weren't. So they were replaced by the people who did that song, Turn Up the Radio. I can't remember who they are now, but they sucked. And yeah.
Maybe he should rephrase this question for next week for the 90s, because I think we'd be a little better off with the 90s.
I was there, too.
Yeah, you were like 80 in the 90s, weren't you?
I was in the 70s, too.
All right, next up, when the Manhunt controversy hit, some gamers in the media, such as IGN's Matt Casamassina.
Oh, we're advertising for IGN.
Vociferously defended the big word.
I love big words. Thank you for using a big word, like vociferously.
Defended the game and its content. My question for you is, at what point do we decide that a given piece of media has gone too far? I don't know. Maybe some people think that there is no line, but I think there is also a right and a wrong and real. And these are not all of the fundamentalist fire breathers.
Gotcha.
Anyway, I basically want to hear something about your moral views. Do you think there's an objective right and wrong, for example, that a video game might be judged by, or is entertainment value the bottom line?
I do think there's an objective right and wrong.
Oh, extremely, yeah.
And I do think that there's an objective right and wrong that video games should be judged by, and it's called, Are They Any Good? And considering Manhunt was the complete antithesis of good.
Well, and also not to mention the right and wrong of being a parent.
Right.
Stop worrying about how gory a game is. You know what? I feel like I don't get as much out of a video game that's like awesome and mature rated if I know a 12-year-old's playing it too. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, and I just feel...
Right.
I think that might just be you.
Right, because I'm sorry, but when I have to sell Grand Theft Auto to a freaking 6-year-old at the store because the parent's like, oh, that's okay, he's heard it before, that parent should be freaking slapped across the mouth. Because our society's getting way too out of hand. I mean, when I was growing up, I had to sneak to watch Cinemax late at night to watch Red Shoe Diaries just because it was taboo in my house to hear
Red
the
Red Shoe Diaries,
let
I remember that show.
Let alone
I bet you
else.
Do. Pervert.
But I'm a firm believer that if they want to make a video game about, like Manhunt 2, about murder and killing and everything, you are allowed to make that video game. I will not purchase it.
Nobody is forced to play it.
Right.
That's the thing, is the big thing.
Right.
Unfortunately, if they make a game like that and you don't agree with it, but you hear how really good it is, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't really want to watch people, like, molest children, but I heard this game is awesome. You know?
Well, it's like, you know, there's a lot of games. There are some games online that I think...
there's a lot that go too far.
That go too far. Like the Super Columbine RPG or whatever it was is over the line to me.
Yeah, there's taste. There's taste and then there's content.
It gets to the point where the quote is, my right to swing my fist ends when it hits your face. So, I mean, there's freedom of speech, obviously, and you can make any game that you want, but there's a line that...
I think video games get too much flack for it because, you know, Manhunt is probably the tamest R-rated movie you're ever going to see.
Right.
True.
You watch a movie like the Rob Zombie movies, or the Saw movie, the Hostel movies.
Day of the Dead, where they rip the freaking guy apart and start eating his intestines.
Yeah. There's some immorally, questionable things in these movies, and nobody seems to raise a stink about that. But yet in Manhunt, you strangle somebody with a plastic baggie and all of a sudden the world's going to explode.
Well, it's because you're...
It's interactive.
Exactly. You're interacting with it. But like I said, and they're like, well, is it giving people ideas? Like, well, it depends who's playing it and whose ideas you're giving it to. If you're giving a 10-year-old Manhunt and they start mimicking it, that's your freaking fault for not being a good parent anyway.
Right.
Because at that age, they don't know quite right from wrong yet.
They don't know quiet from riot.
Right.
Oh, and back on the whole 80s thing again, I used to have a Pac-Man watch. I got to take it away at school because I would play it all the time.
We used to have me and I know you guys know him, but Speedwack.
Yep.
He had a Legend of Zelda watch we used to play with in Spanish class in the 90s, and that got taken away too. Nice. It was a sad day.
But the last part of his question is about desensitization, and yes, I mean there's no disputing desensitization. It's pretty much clinically proven, and it all comes down to what Brian's been saying this whole time. That if you as a parent are letting your kid play these games, it's your fault as a parent and not the game maker's fault for making the game.
Jason's got something to say.
Get this, man. Back in the day...
have to call on you. You raised your hand.
Yeah, I raised my
hand.
Yes,
Jason?
Yeah. Back in the day when Ghosts and Goblins came out for NES, I got it. My parents actually made me take it back because they thought it was too disturbing.
Because your parents are good parents.
Because
maybe Ghosts and Goblins was a little much to make you take it back.
My mom always wondered about Devil's Crush because it had a big pentagram and a freaking thing.
Yeah. I borrowed a TurboGrafx-16, and when I played Devil's Crush, I made sure that my parents was nowhere in sight.
Gambus Khan, when you bought Tomb Raider, you wouldn't even show the cover to your parents. I remember that. You bought Tomb Raider, and I was like, so, you know, what'd your parents think? And you were like, I didn't show it to them. It's in my car. I just took the disc in. I remember that, because you were afraid to show them that you had Lara Croft on the cover of you, and she looked terrible. She looked terrible on the cover. There was nothing sensual about it. And you're like, no, I can't show it to them.
I also remember the Nintendo Hotline, which I spent tons of my parents'
money on. Oh, Nintendo Hotline. We actually had some 80s discussion last week, too, with the Video Power discussion.
Yeah, Video Power.
Anyway.
He ends his desensitization about Kano ripping the heart out of Mortal Kombat, and his last question is, what are the goofiest, the lamest fatalities in the MK series, and why? Well, those started in 3.
Yeah.
There were some really terrible ones.
There were some bad ones.
Unless you
want to
remember the first one for the Super Nintendo where Sub-Zero turned the guy to ice and broke him in half.
But that was at least cooler than Johnny Cage just uppercutting them.
No, I think the worst.
Or the Kano Braid.
Yes, ripping out their soul or whatever it was, the gray, whatever that was supposed to be that he ripped out of their chest. Or Johnny Cage just kicking them in the chest and his foot going into their chest.
Now, see, 3 had some of the worst ones, from Jax growing into a giant and stepping on you. Cabal's. Where he would rip off his mask and scare him to death. He blew your head up like a balloon.
Yeah.
And you flew up in the air and exploded. And what was awesome was you had like 14 rib cages.
Right.
And that was the best part about it is you had 14 rib cages and 3 skulls. Awesome.
I remember the... and actually, I think Killer Instinct used his fatality as well. They did. It was a friendship, I believe, in one of the, I think it was MK3, where the arcade game falls out of the sky and crushes you.
Yeah.
And Killer Instinct used that fatality as well. That was one of Jago's fatalities, I believe.
Yeah, that was a...
That's a lame fatality.
That's generic. There's a lot of them in 3. 3 was terrible for a generic.
3 added the run button. It's a shame on you.
Yeah.
Run button.
The run button sucked.
My favorite fatality, though, just to bring this out, is, I can't... Was it Sub-Zero that ripped the leg off and beat the crap out of the person with it? That was like my favorite one to watch in Mortal Kombat 4, where it just rips their leg off and it just starts beating. I think it was actually Quan Chi that ended up with it in the final version or something.
Yeah,
but they ripped the leg off and just beat the crap out of him. It was just so funny.
My favorite MK fatality of all time, and this might be, I think some people hate this fatality, but it's my favorite one of all time, is actually a stage fatality. It's the Pit for Mortal Kombat 2.
Which one?
With the
where you fall,
where you fall, and it's like you're staring at the person as they fall, and they just land on concrete. That was my favorite fatality.
Yeah,
easily.
What was that one gory fighting game that was replaced by that Wu-Tang game?
Oh, Thrill Kill.
Thrill Kill.
Thrill Kill was terrible.
Yeah,
that game is terrible. All right, we're gonna move on. Eddie Rivera has a question. Do you think in-game XMB will be out before or after home?
Probably around the same time.
Same time. Good question. Apparently he profaned a lot in that post.
Hold on. Yeah, what's enlighten me? What's he talking about?
What?
In-game XMB, he means like invites, cross-game invites, cross-game friend lists.
Gotcha.
In-game chat, in-game music, that kind of stuff. I think it'll probably launch with home. Go up just a little bit more.
Where are we going?
Right there. Stop.
Speaking of 80s, music in the 80s really influenced me. I liked groups like the Information Society liked a little bit of Devo.
So you're a New Wave.
I really like New Wave. And thing is, like music and video games, I saw a lot of parallel between video game music and 80s. Electronic music, so the music of the 80s has deeply influenced my modern-day taste in music.
All right, well, I'm glad to know about your musical taste. Thank you. Anyway, we're going to move on to the next question. It comes from Silvanos. I listen to a few different gaming podcasts. Don't worry, yours is the most entertaining.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
But I keep hearing the argument about digital downloads being the future for games and movies. Seems pretty much split down the middle, for and against. I know Microsoft's betting on digital downloads, but I personally don't see it being the exception being small games like those found on XBLA or PSN, maybe rental movies, but even rental services like Netflix and Blockbuster are great. What do you guys think are the digital downloads of the future? Love the show, keep up the good work, and quit smoking.
Yes, quit smoking.
Don't judge me! Anyway, our digital downloads the future.
Yes.
I've always said this. I'm not saying it's the immediate future.
Right.
I think obviously people are going to be, I mean, speaking for somebody who just spent $265 on DVDs the other day, it's not going to go away right away, but I don't think another format's going to replace DVD until it's digital download. And I think our movies and entertainment are going to come in iPod format, like a set-top box. So you'll have your movies and everything at one nice, convenient space. So.
I've been saying that for the past year.
You know what? People like me will never let it happen because I love my
boxes.
Physical media.
I do too.
I love my physical media.
Hey, I do too. But thing is,
I don't buy CDs anymore.
I see the trends.
I do.
I see the trends. I see the technology, and I see the eventuality of the situation.
I saw the trends in parachute pants too, but I ain't seen nobody wearing them. Do you?
I agree that the digital download is the future, but it's not the immediate future. I think that until drive sizes get bigger, standard drive sizes get bigger, and compression gets slightly better than it is today, I don't think you're going to see digital downloads.
I think digital downloads will be the future when we get our own TV show.
Yes.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yes.
So in other words, there will never be digital downloads.
Oh, that's terrible. Right?
Well, no, because it'll happen because by the time technology catches up to do digital downloads, we'll have enough technology to afford to do a television show.
Man, we only have a television show if we get to play the Benny Hill theme when we run into the room.
Man, future will have kicked us off the air by the time technology gets to that.
We'll be lucky to make it past this episode.
They're gonna be like, wait a minute, this is what we invested in? These guys have made 3 dick jokes and a poop joke already in this episode.
Oh,
and a cat meow.
I'm sorry, Dusty, if Future pulls out after listening to our podcast.
All right. Next question comes from K. Smooches. Wants to know, when do you think the FPS trend will die down?
It's a good question.
Hopefully soon. I like a good FPS like anybody else, but it's just like anything. Got to take it in moderation. Well, unlike my current state of playing a bunch of RPGs at the same time.
Gaming always goes through phases. I mean, if you go back 10 or 15 years, platformers were what first-person shooters are now. You know, every game was a platformer. I think we're moving towards multi-genre games. I think we're going to get to a point before too long where you're not going to be able to call something just first-person shooter anymore.
Well, it started with like BioShock,
right?
Things like
that.
I think Oblivion.
You'll be able to run around in first or third person mode, shooting people in the woods, and then playing a game of baseball afterwards.
Yeah, pretty much.
Don't forget the kart racing
and, with right. platforming elements.
Right. I think we're moving more and more towards replacing genre. But that's just me.
All the genres are going to be converging into each other.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the trend I've been seeing lately is everybody wants to have RPG elements integrated into their games.
Right. That started with I mean, it didn't start with, but a big part of that was Deus Ex, at least in the first-person shooter genre.
Well, he talks a lot about, I mean, and this is a very good point, that these things aren't going to stop being made until people stop buying them.
Right, absolutely.
That is always going to be the kicker there, is as long as Halo sells 8 million copies every time it's released, we're always going to see a Halo.
Right.
And Call of Duty sold 4.4 million copies in North America. They're going to be a 5.
Right.
There's no doubt about that.
Well, they already announced it.
Made by Infinity Ward.
Yeah. Right. I think if you dislike first-person shooters, you're just going to have to kind of hold on for the ride.
Personally, I like third-person games because I don't really need to see through the eyes of the character. You know, I know it, I'm not there.
Well, some games are made for it, some games aren't.
Yeah,
right.
I don't want to play Grand Theft Auto first person.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah, because the thing is, if you're going to make a game, I mean, I think Hitman was a great start of it all when they started. You can choose first person or third person. I think we need to get to that point where you actually get to choose.
But the problem is they usually half-ass one of them.
Right.
Right.
That's the thing. Is like Metal Gear Solid 4 can probably be played entirely from first person, but have you watched it?
Yeah.
It looks very disorienting, and I don't think I could do that.
Oblivion was the same way. You could play Oblivion in first person or third person. Or not Oblivion, Morrowind. You could play in first person or third person.
And Oblivion.
Yeah, that's true. I never played Oblivion in third person because third person in Morrowind sucks so bad. But I guess that's true. When you're riding the horse in Oblivion, it's third person. So,
well, the thing is, something that I've noticed is that I actually have better control over my character. If I'm in an open environment, I'll go to third person. But when I'm like in a dungeon or like an Oblivion gate or in one of those towers and it's like real cramped, I'm playing it first person. And when I'm fighting something, I usually keep it in first person, but then when I'm like exploring like the overall world, I go to third person.
The only time I ever kicked Oblivion into third person was riding a horse, or if I wanted to check out what a new piece of equipment looked like on my character in the game world.
Right. Well, and the thing is, and I think everybody will agree with this fact is, no one here wants first person shooters to go away per se.
No.
We just don't want 10 of our 15 new releases that are coming out in the next year to be first-person shooters. We want a little bit more variety.
Yeah, so. Which is probably one of the reasons why the beginning of this year has been flooded with games that normally wouldn't do anything.
Right.
But since they're not first-person shooters, you get a little more attention.
Right.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
It's definitely the best time to release them. And
yeah, like Devil May Cry, that would really suck as a
first-person shooter. That would be terrible.
Yeah.
All right, next question is from Little Bush. He wants to know he's getting a 32-inch HD TV for his PS3. He wants to know what brand to get between Samsung, Sony, Bravia, or LG. And I'm a full Sony man all the way.
Yeah, I've got 100%. A Sony.
I'm all
you
Sony.
Got Samsung,
I love my Samsung television. So
thing is, I would say it would be a toss-up between Sony and Samsung because I've seen some Samsungs that are extremely, exquisitely high quality.
Am I not mistaken, too? Isn't Bravia Sony? Isn't that a
it
Sony?
Is.
Yeah, that's what he said. Sony Bravia.
Oh, okay.
Bravia is one of the lines of Sony.
And LG only for the price.
Right.
But the thing is, if you're going to spend that much for a TV, get a Samsung or Sony. Right. And it's really, you know, it's honestly just personal preference. And, you know, with me, the reason I got a Samsung over my Sony really wasn't because I didn't really see much of a difference in quality right. between the two. But I had a Samsung surround sound system, so I just kind of wanted to match.
Yeah, well, here's
the table it's sitting on is glossy black too, which it all goes together. So
my widescreen computer monitor is Samsung, and it's great. Yeah. So
see, if the thing you can do though, and you, everybody should do this if you want to know your preference, take your PS3 with you. Yeah. They'll let you hook it up in the store, so you can see what it looks like because they want to sell you that TV.
Right.
They'll let you do anything you want to it.
That's really cool.
They'll probably let you mess with the color settings. They'll let you do quite a bit when they're trying to sell you a $1,500 to $2,000.
And the thing is, and that's what I did with mine. I took my 360 to the store with me and hooked it up both to the Samsung and the Sony. They were both the same price. Actually, I got a 50-inch Samsung for the price of the 46-inch Sony. So I obviously that was my choices. I actually wanted a bigger TV than what I had to give up. So.
You know, I didn't see it in your question. I assume you already know this, but just in case you don't, make sure you go with LCD, not plasma.
Yes.
I didn't see that specifically in there, but plasma is better for movies.
I don't know if you can get a
games.
Plasma that small, though. I think plasma started in the 40s.
What? How big did he say?
35
inch. Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
I think that, but definitely that size. You want LCD anyway. But
and
right.
another thing to consider.
Less burn into.
When you're getting like a high-definition TV that most people don't even talk about, but I've actually... I got a friend who's done a ton of research on high-definition televisions. Obviously, you want to get something that's like 1080p, you know, the high resolution. But another thing that you want to look for is something that is 120 hertz. That's like the refresh rate.
Right.
Because I've actually seen, there was this one TV, it was a Samsung TV, and you could actually split the screen in the middle on this particular model. You split the screen in the middle, and they were showing the Pixar movie Cars. And you could compare, it was like one side was like 80 hertz, and the other was 120 hertz. And the 120 hertz, oh my God, it looked so incredible. It did not even look like a movie. The movie literally looked like a real-time game, like a video game. It looked like you could control it, but it was a movie. I mean, it was unreal. So 120 hertz models cost more than like the 80 hertz models. So I mean, if cost is a factor, you might be looking at that. But I will say this, man: take a look at a 120 hertz in action, and it is something.
I do have to say that 1080p is not a necessity.
No, I don't think 1080p is a necessity right now.
Especially at the price. I mean, when I was looking at mine, I actually plugged it into the 1080p and then the 1080i and checked the difference. It wasn't enough difference to me for to spend another $1,000 on that television. So.
Right.
All right, next up, Silfo wants to know, the running joke is that we have five listeners.
Right.
How many do we really think it is? And he hopes this doesn't make Gamba shy.
Five.
Five.
Is how many we really think it is.
We have a way of tracking a little bit. We track a little bit. It ranges anywhere from 500 on a slow week to over 1,500 on a busy week. So that's about...
That's just one way of tracking.
That's only one way. We can't track every way. This is just one method.
Right.
So, I mean...
Man.
It varies.
I'm starting to get shy now, man. Jeez. Why'd you have to tell me that?
Next comes from Serenity. Considering how the PS3 outsold the 360 in 2007, in case you didn't know, that is true.
Yeah, that is true.
Many gaming sites bashed it for being sluggish sales. Do you think the game industry and the media has been overly harsh on Sony? No, because most of the game media you're listening to is in America.
Right.
Which is where the 360 outsold the PS3.
Right.
We're not talking worldwide.
And to an extent, I do believe that some media outlets were a little unfair to the PlayStation 3 at the end of the year. When sales picked up, they had a lot of great games that were released because they were held over from when they were being truthfully harsh in the beginning of the year for the PlayStation 3 when the game selection was limited and the sales were sluggish. So it depends on when you're talking about. If they were being harsh on the PS3 at the end of the year, then I would say they were being overly harsh. But at the beginning of the year, it was there wasn't a whole lot of good news to be had for the
PlayStation. Exactly. I mean, and the big thing wasn't the fact that they were being overly harsh on the system itself as far as like quality. It was the fact that they had 20 games and wanted you to pay $600 for it. That's where the problem lied in right there. And all those 20 games, you had to choose from great games like Genji.
Right. Now
what are you talking about?
I do think though that the PlayStation 3 is getting its due at this point. Or at least it's starting to swing back more towards that. There are some holdovers out there that are still clinging to the beginning of 2007, and you know, still judging the PlayStation 3 maybe too harshly, but I think overall it's sort of evened out.
Well, I'm going to make an executive decision and say we're going to take one more person's question, and then we're going to shut off until next week because we're running deep.
Yeah, it's a 2.5 hours right
now.
Yeah,
we're running deep, so we're going to take one more set of questions. He has four sets of questions. We'll try to run through these as quick as possible. This comes from the McGraw Gamer, and don't worry, we will get to your questions next week. We took a week off, so.
If you ask a question in the Ask a Question forum, we will read it online.
Yes.
There's none that we skip.
Yeah.
So.
All right. First up, he wants to know, after hearing that Kudo Tsunada, for those you don't know, made Fight Night, is working with the Gears franchise, where do you see it headed? I don't see any change because I think he's just a marketing guy.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to change.
I think it's going to see a cut man in the corner.
and some ugly-looking women with no shadows.
Yeah.
Like Fight Night.
Creepy-ass ugly women with no shadows.
Creepy-ass ugly women with no shadows.
But I really... I want to say this about Gears because...
you hate it?
We haven't talked about Gears in a while. It's no secret that I was not the biggest fan of the first one. But I really would not be surprised in the coming years to see the Gears franchise spread out a lot farther than it has already.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me to see Gears of War Wars, like Halo Wars. Oh. And I'm sure there'll be some spinoffs to the Gears franchise because Microsoft knows what they have there. Epic knows what they have there.
Oh,
it's pretty much a license to print money, so...
And that's a good thing.
Indeed.
Next up, after reading Shane Kim's interview during DICE, do you think Microsoft really has some big hits coming out? Or do you think it's PR smoke blowing up your ass?
I think it's a combination of both.
We already talked about predictions for tomorrow, today, whenever, this week at GDC. I think Microsoft has about 4 or 5 titles they're not showing yet that we're probably going to hear about this week. We're probably going to hear about a couple that we rumor, that we anticipate. We're probably going to hear about some that we don't.
Yeah.
So, and then again, they may just focus on Too Human.
Right.
So.
My take on it is that Microsoft knows what Sony's lineup is for this year. Microsoft knows what their install base is like for this year. They would have to be the most ignorant people in the entire world to not have a lot of games lined up, and most of which we probably don't know about yet.
Right.
And I think Sony's going to have a few tricks up their sleeve
as well. Oh, absolutely.
I'm looking forward to seeing some more on Infamous because it just kind of showed and then disappeared.
Yeah.
So
this is going to be a very, very interesting GDC.
I hope so.
And I just can't wait to see Wii Fit in action.
All right. Yeah, let it go.
I bet you can.
Next up is something we hadn't talked about yet, and it's near and dear to my heart because I'm a huge fan of the Fatal Frame series. But with Nintendo publishing Fatal Frame for the Wii exclusively... do you think that this is an isolated incident, or is Nintendo finally pushing to get more hardcore titles on the platform?
I said Wii Fit, and I stick by it. Sorry, don't get your hopes up in Nintendo going any further than what they already have in the third-party development stages. They will take the third-party development games from, like, Bold Games that deliver such great games like London Taxi, that's like a crazy taxi rip, and classic British racing and stuff like that because they're budget titles so they can afford to. But as far as like spending any real money on development, it's going to be party games. That's where the Wii's audience is right now and will remain because that's what the Wii buyers bought it for. They can get together and waggle together. So for better or for worse, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but that's their core audience. Don't look for too much of them spreading into the Fatal Frame kind of a thing because... as cool as it is, it's not going to be the norm. So.
I think they
much like Eternal Darkness.
I think they're going to do the same thing they did with the GameCube, where they put their foot in the third party mature video game water, but they don't jump in. I think it's the same thing this gen with the Wii. They're going to dabble in some games like that. They're going to dabble in some games like Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles and They're gonna and Manhunt 2, but they're not gonna fully commit just because it's not their user base anymore, like Brian said.
Well, that upsets me a little bit because Fatal Frame was so near and dear to my heart, and to know that, you know, it is still coming and they're making a fourth one, but the fact that it's Wii only gets me a little less excited about it because I was really looking forward to see where they would take the game with the next-gen capabilities of the PS3 and the 360.
You mean you're not excited to see what Waggle's like?
I am not scared of Waggle. So, you know, Fatal Frame waggling?
You know what I would love to see? Of course, the technology isn't what the Vision Cam is made for. If you imagine using the Vision Cam in, like, a Fatal Frame game and actually being able just to have an add-on kind of a technology, maybe even for the Wii. Have, like, a camera technology where you look through the camera itself.
It'd be kind of cool to also have a, in the next, in another Fatal Frame, you could have the Vision camera sitting on top of your television, or your PSI, whichever one, sitting on top of your television, and you walk into a room, and it's your room, the room you're playing in, projected through the camera with ghosts on the screen in your room in your house. That would be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool.
Kind of like the Disney technology where you ride the ride
Pirates
and
of the Caribbean,
it replaces you with somebody creepy looking.
They should just have it take a picture of your face when a scary thing happens.
Woo! Like Burnout, where it takes a picture of you when you get taken down.
That would be good. All right, the last question, and it seems like home would be the theme.
Yeah.
If there was a theme to the show. Sony's Home is a very ambitious project, but after hearing a lot of Japanese gamers are no longer interested in Home, do you think its delays have hindered Home by losing much of its hype, and do you think Sony got a little too ambitious with this one?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I really kind of, after toying around with it more and more, I'm under the impression that I'm just not impressed with it. And
oh,
I
want to do the robot.
Well, you can do the robot all day long. I mean, at least it's free,
I
guess. But I think them thinking that it's going to be the second coming of PSN, I think is a little overly ambitious. I would say Little Big Planet has more of a chance of being the second coming of PSN than Home. I think Home is going to come. People are going to like it. It's going to be forgotten, and people are going to stop using it.
Absolutely.
And I also believe that Home doesn't work for the fact that the PSN still doesn't work, because when I got to download and then install, that means the streamline still isn't correct. So how bad is Home really going to be when they can't even get simple streamlining done?
If you have to download every room that you walk into, it's going to get a little annoying. But I stick by what I said earlier. I think that Home is going to be a real cool novelty for the first couple months that it's available, and then I think people are really going to get tired of it.
Yeah, a lot of there's a lot of people, you know, that talk about the low times of Lost Odyssey. That's nothing compared to the low times of Home.
No, it's really.
Well, maybe
not.
You could download a gig to your hard drive.
No,
you go get a sandwich and wait for it to install. Okay.
Yeah, you probably have to download like 10 gigs for Home.
But that pretty much wraps up this epic show. Somebody said they wished it was going to be 3 hours, but it's
not
going
to. We got
close. It's not going to quite be that long.
Yeah, 20 minutes short.
We could have.
We could push it.
I think people stop.
Let's be honest. You don't want to fucking listen to us talk for 3 hours.
How many people probably clicked off?
Yeah.
But that pretty much wraps up the show. Next week we'll get back to the questions. We'll also have a full report of GDC, all the new games.
You know,
that we'll talk about.
And it all depends on how entertaining the show is and how hungover me and Ken are, because we're going to be celebrating mine and his wife's birthday that Saturday.
Yes, it will be a long Saturday night, so we'll see how good how on spot I am Sunday morning.
Oh,
so.
And we also next week we should have, I'm hoping, should have details on the Big Willy Unleashed contest that we discussed on the last show. I'm going to try and iron out the details for the contest and. We'll get you guys at least the full list of prizes and what you got to do to win them.
Exactly.
Hopefully next week.
So make sure you tune in next week for that. And if you didn't stay to the end of this episode, you have no idea that's coming.
You have no idea that's coming. So that's a bonus for you to stay tuned.
Exactly. Yeah. So keep up on the GDC this week. Keep posting the questions. We will get to them. But for now, we're going to get out of here. So, Mr. Khan.
Where will I be? Where will you be when I hear the last beating of my heart? What will I see? What will you see in me when I hear the last beating of my heart? The last beating. the last beating of my heart. The last beating, the last beating of my heart. Where will I be?
Testing, testing, testing,
testing.
How's my volume now?
Give me the real voice.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
how's
yeah.
it going, everybody?
Oh, yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.